Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Sam Litzinger. There's where they have a deal for now on that multi-billion-dollar economic stimulus plan that's been hung up in the Senate. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill is live with what we know about it right now.
We're told, Sam, there's a tentative deal reached by the group of moderate senators in both parties that would trim the package from almost $1 trillion back to about $780 billion, a lot closer to where the House is and what President Obama first proposed. We don't know any details about what is cut and, critically, can't be sure it will be enough to bring over the handful of Republicans that are needed to reach the critical 60-vote threshold.
Bob, there's been a lot of back and forth in the Senate on this stimulus plan. What would it take to get it approved, and when could it happen?
Well, right now, all the Senate Democrats are meeting behind closed doors. And if this is going to work, Senate Leader Harry Reid has to convince all of them to go along with this. He can't lose even one. And, of course, he then has to have those two or three Republicans, too. This is all very tentative and still has to be approved by the full Senate, which may or may not be able to get to it tonight. And then it has to be negotiated with the House Democrats, who are not happy about these cuts being made in the Senate. President Obama has set a deadline 1 week from today to get this bill completely finished. It is suddenly looking more possible, but far from a done deal, Sam.
Bob Fuss live on Capitol Hill. The American economy lost nearly 600,000 jobs last month. All these layoffs mean big changes in the makeup of the American labor force. Here's CBS News correspondent Steve Knight.
The workforce was 47% women just a few months ago, but
job losses among men have been outpacing those among women.
82% of the job cuts have been men. And Heather Boucher from the Center for American Progress says that even though women might be safer in their jobs,
the fact that women aren't paid as much as men is going to become more important because families are going to be forced to rely on the single wages of women workers.
And she says it could force changes in gender roles. Steve Knight, CBS News.
Chrysler says it's temporarily closing four assembly plants next week because car sales are so slow. Auto industry analyst Eric Merkel.
The dealers are feeling a tremendous amount of pressure right now, and they're not willing to take these cars simply because, if they can't sell them, they really don't want them on their lot.
Chrysler says more closings could be coming. The Food and Drug Administration now accuses the Peanut Corporation of America of knowingly shipping products tainted with salmonella. Former FDA official Michael Taylor, now a professor at the George Washington University, says the agency should have been on this case much, much earlier.
The FDA has to transform the way it uses its inspection resources. Again, so it focuses on preventing problems, not just reacting to problems.
The outbreak has killed at least 8 people and made nearly 600 sick. It's also prompted a recall of dozens of brands of food items. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials closed up nearly 218 points. The NASDAQ was up nearly 45. The S&P 500 index up nearly 23 points. This is CBS News.
Thanks for seeing us, Doctor.
Danny's warm. Let's get a temperature.
I want the Star Wars thermometer.
Absolutely, Danny.
What kind of thermometer is that?
The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer is what he means. Just a gentle scan across the forehead gives a fast, accurate reading. We're using it on all our patients now. It's good for the whole family. No more ears or rears.
Wowee, Mom, can we get one too? I can't wait to take everyone's temperature.
The Exergen Temporal Scanner, a better thermometer. Home model available at Walmart, Walgreens, Costco, Sam's Club, Babies R Us, and Toys R Us.
Experience it and win with Tempur-Pedic. If you've been waiting for the absolute best time to try a life-changing Tempur-Pedic Swedish sleep system, this is it. Visit a participating retail store today and get your game piece for a chance to win $10,000 just for trying a Tempur-Pedic mattress. Simply call, click, or visit a participating retailer near you today to find out how. Call 1-800-433-2720 or visit Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. That's 1-800-433-2720 or Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. For official rules, go to www.experienceitandwin.com. Contest ends 3809. Offer void where prohibited.
Message from Christian Bale. Sorry.
I was way out of order. I acted like a punk.
The actor tells K-Rock Radio he was wrong to launch into a profanity-laced verbal assault on the cinematographer on the set of Terminator Salvation, an incident that went viral on the Internet. Bale says he may have been channeling too much of his character. He says he and the cinematographer reconciled and continued working together for another month following the now well-publicized tirade. Chesley Sully Sullenberger, the pilot who landed his damaged jet in the Hudson River, is heading back to New York City, this time under very different circumstances. He's scheduled to be given the key to the city by Mayor Michael Bloomberg Monday. Richard Beeman of Stuart, Florida, died the other day, so they had to find a new home for his pet, an 800-pound, 12-foot-long alligator named Albert that Beeman had kept in a pond out in the backyard. Not the kind of critter you can give to the local animal shelter. So Albert now has a new home at an exotic animal park in Oklahoma. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I design and sell my very own line of baby clothes. When I started my business, I knew how to make the baby clothes, but I didn't really know the business side of things. And it became very clear that I needed help. So I'd heard about Intuit QuickBooks, you know, that small business software, and thought, that's just what I need. Then I saw I could try it for free, and you know what? It's been great. Totally easy to use, and it's helped me avoid a lot of growing pains.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your tires, your brakes, your battery, your oil and filter, your fluid levels, and your belts and hoses.
Would you check us, please?
Okay, I'm on my way to the Ford dealer now for the Works Fuel Saver Pack. You'll all get checked or tested or changed or rotated or filled for just $29.95 or less after a $10 mail-in rebate.
Woohoo! I love this guy!
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for rebate details through 3/31/09.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're heard from Big Sur all the way to the Canadian border, up and down the left coast, and oozing inland, too. Hello, Montana. And we now have got extra hours every night, late night, on KPOJ in Portland. Thanks, Portland. You can email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. Lots to talk about on the show today. Some fabulous guests. Robert Perry will kick things off in just a moment. Later this hour, Jerome Polin. You may know him as a travel writer. He's published a new book about these United States. It's called Progressive Nation, 400 Inspiring Landmarks and Left Turns. We'll have some fun with that. Next hour, Con Hallinan of the Fighting Hallinan Lawyer Family of San Francisco will join us. He has some comments about the mission creep in Afghanistan. We're going to take you back to the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan with some musical satire from one of my favorite 80s bands called The Stranglers. Also, filmmaker and academic and radio commentator Saul Landau will be with us in our second hour, answering the question, who is Zippy Livni? She's one of the candidates for prime minister in Tuesday's Israeli elections, and we'll talk about her and her terrorist father. That'll shock some people. And Brad Friedman from bradblog.com with us as usual in our third and final hour. Today, we'll talk about election issues, and if it all works out, we'll go live to Minnesota, where Noah Kunin has been covering every inch of the Al Franken, Norm Coleman post-election dispute. And it's in the courtrooms these days, and very interesting stuff. So that's all ahead on the PBC show today. You can join in toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. You got that number in your speed dial? 1-888-573-8372. My personal email is humblehost@peterbcollins.com. And if you think I'm full of it, well, just address it to fullofit@peterbcollins.com, and it will find me. Robert Perry is a longtime investigative reporter based in Washington. He publishes at consortiumnews.com. Bob, welcome to the show today.
Hey, Peter. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet. Good to talk with you. And I wanted to get your take on some of the developments in Washington this week, in particular the confirmation hearings for California's Leon Panetta, former congressman, former White House chief of staff, and while the Republicans play it down, he actually served in Army intelligence back there in the 1950s, and he's been getting some pretty tough questioning in his confirmation hearings. And as our mutual friend Ray McGovern, who served at the Central Intelligence Agency for most of his career, has noted in a post that you have up at Consortium News, and it's recommended reading, Leon Panetta was pretty deferential to the Republicans, and I do understand what you have to do to get confirmed. But what really troubled me was how he talked out of both sides of his mouth about torture and about rendition. He said in general that he would not use extraordinary rendition, which means nabbing somebody, kidnapping them essentially, and dispatching them to Syria or Egypt or some place where we know that they are likely to be tortured, and that's our desire in dispatching them in that manner. Yet he said, and I consider this unacceptable moral relativism, that he doesn't want to see investigations or prosecutions of those at the agency who committed torture during the last 8 years because there was a memo that said they could.
Well, that's right. I think he did make that point, and I think he's obviously trying to not alarm the Republicans, but there's also a moral issue here. Although, frankly, I think I did a piece earlier in the week about, you know, it was entitled First Jail All Bush's Lawyers, because it was really those lawyers, the John Hughes and the Jay Bybees, the Gonzaleses, they're the ones who created this legal framework for permitting this to go forward, and they're kind of the linchpin. Because if you listen to what Bush and Cheney said in the last few weeks of their time in office, they were saying, well, we had these legal opinions. So, of course, we thought it was okay to do it because we had these legal opinions. And that became the basis for then telling the interrogators for the CIA and elsewhere to use these methods. They were effectively ordered to waterboard. There was a group inside the National Security Council, the so-called Principals Committee, which sat down and told them how many times they should waterboard, how many times they should, how long they should keep these people in a cold room, basically almost orchestrating or choreographing what was done to these people. So, you know, it is probably, to start at the bottom, the guys who were in the field being told to do this is probably the wrong end to go. I would argue that the best place is to start with the lawyers and show how they were not just independent legal scholars. These were guys sitting in at meetings at the White House, like you did, like Bybee did, and negotiating with Gonzalez and others on how they should come out with these opinions. And those opinions then became the basis for what Bush and Cheney and others ordered the people at the agency to do. So I think in that sense, I think nobody should be free from responsibility for things that are clearly criminal and illegal. But I think the people at the top have more responsibility.
Well, I certainly agree with that, and I believe that is where we should start, and so you and I are on the same page there. My issue with Panetta is that he is trying to mollify Republican senators, and he's trying to kind of split the difference here and not seem to be, you know, on a vendetta against Republican policies. And all that is understandable under the circumstances, but I really believe that the way we treated Nazi war criminals, the way we treated Japanese war criminals, it didn't matter if they had a memo or if they were ordered to exterminate Jews or to torture Americans. The fundamental rules are the same. Whether you are holding a document from Jay Bybee, John Yoo, or Donald Rumsfeld or not. And, you know, I do understand the pressure the people were under, and I generally agree with you that, you know, we don't want to start at the bottom. But I don't think anyone should be immune who broke the law because the excuses offered by the Justice Department and by these memoranda, which clearly, in my view, are not constitutional in many cases, were derided even by Jack Goldsmith, the successor to you and Bybee at the Office of Legal Counsel, as, you know, really weak legal reasoning.
That's right. They were withdrawn very soon in an extraordinary step. Goldsmith, after he took over the OLC, which is this very powerful agency of the Justice Department that essentially tells the president what's constitutional, and had in many cases a very honorable history, sometimes not exactly perfect history, but in this case it had been totally corrupted. And these guys, you and Bybee, went off and searched around for arguments that made no sense. They pulled language out of a health insurance, health benefits bill, relating to organ failure and when certain things would click in. They applied that into essentially a torture decision about, what torture is and isn't. So, I do think though that the corruption that was shown there, and basically what we saw, those lawyers were acting very much like the analysts at the CIA did during the run up to the war in Iraq. It's they were fixing the intelligence around the war in Iraq. Bush wanted to invade; they gave him the excuse to invade. Similarly, these lawyers at the OLC knew that Bush wanted to torture, so they gave him some legal reasons to let him torture. And that is something that really has to be stopped. This idea that you can just make a legal argument, no matter how flimsy, and then it can have this kind of consequence, cannot be tolerated in a democracy anyway.
Now, Bob, an interesting discussion surfaced on the morning show of one of our affiliate radio stations, KRXA, in Monterey last week. A blogger who's a regular guest opposed the idea of impeachment proceedings for Judge Bybee. Jay Bybee was given a lifetime appointment to help pack the court with a more conservative mind here on the what is described as the ultra-liberal Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. And I think there's a strong case to be made for the investigative aspect of impeachment. After all, it's a two-stage process where first you have to investigate and bring charges, and then the process of removing him from office would go forward if there is sufficient evidence. And I support at least phase one, and should the evidence support phase two, I would be in favor of that too. Do you think there's any appetite for a judicial impeachment for the legal advice that Jay Bybee gave?
Well, I'm not sure there is, but there ought to be. This is a very serious matter. Washington has become a very strange place. I'm not breaking news here, I suppose. But there are things that Washington gets upset about. As Ray pointed out in that article you mentioned, Ray McGovern, there's bipartisan consensus that if someone is caught leaking a document, leaking some classified material, which often isn't deservedly being kept secret, but let's say someone leaks it and is caught, the Democrats and Republicans all agree that person should be severely punished and made an example for people in the future. Yet, if you take part in something like torture, if you disgrace the United States and make us part of something like that, then it becomes kind of a, well, we're not quite sure if there's, we should go. Man, it's kind of too partisan. So the Republicans don't feel, I guess, in by and large, that anything should be done. And the Democrats aren't too sure either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a twisted version of what reality should be. The less serious offenses everyone agrees should be punished, the more serious, not so sure.
Oh, you got it too, Bob. Real bad. The other case there is John Yoo, who has returned to his law professor job at the University of California at Berkeley. And Marjorie Cohn, who's a contributor to our program and president of the National Lawyers Guild, has been leading a charge to get UC authorities to strip him of his post because of the what are viewed as the illegal, unconstitutional memos that he wrote justifying these acts that we find reprehensible.
Well, that's a good step, too. I'm not sure why he should be teaching young minds about what the law should be.
Mm-hmm.
He abused his position. He's truly an ideologue,
mm-hmm.
Not a person of the law. And I've been reading his book. These aren't serious legal arguments he's making. These are essentially political arguments and arguments of convenience, where he talks about why torture should be allowed and why these powers should be granted to the president.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a break.
Like a serious scholar.
Bob, have a swig or a cough drop or something. We'll be right back in a few minutes, okay? Robert Perry with us. Visit his news website, consortiumnews.com, and I recommend his commentary called First Jail All Bush's Lawyers, and also Ray McGovern's piece about Leon Panetta's testimony at his confirmation hearing. We'll continue in a moment. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
This is Richard Stockton inviting you to join us right here on KRXA 540 AM this Saturday at 5 p.m. for a half hour of Planet Cruise comedy. This is a comedy show that captures the spirit, the stories, and the people of the Monterey Bay Area. Join us 5 p.m. Saturday right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Think for yourself.
So now do your part and spread it around. Send an email to a friend and tell them they can hear it at peterbcollins.com. We continue with Robert Perry, Bob Perry from ConsortiumNews.com. It's an independent, nonprofit journalism site. If you can help them, I would be much obliged. Just log on, and there's a donate button right there. Bob, in your column here about jailing all Bush's lawyers, you're essentially giving advice to the new Attorney General, Eric Holder. And whether or not he promised Kit Bond that he wouldn't prosecute wrongdoing by the Bush administration, I believe that he has an obligation to really take a look at whatever evidence is presented and make judgment calls based on that, that any kind of policy of withholding prosecution for political reasons is extremely inappropriate and will not repair the damage that was done to the reputation and the inner workings of the Justice Department under Ashcroft and Gonzalez. And I have one more thing on my list. I want him to lift the gag order on Sybil Edmonds. And my sense is that he's going to be very cautious and that he will probably be listening more to Obama than the evidence that will be before him.
Well, what's been very interesting and concerning about the first couple of weeks of the Obama administration is how the Republicans are still acting as if they're in charge.
Yeah.
They're setting the agenda. Obama, I think, invited some of this by trying to be overly solicitous. He had Charlie Krauthammer and the neocons over for dinner. He was having the Republicans over in various settings, including the Super Bowl. He's been trying to reach out to them. And so far, all he's gotten from that is them getting a sense that they can dictate to him what he does.
Yeah.
They're now filibustering the stimulus package, demanding to make it look like they want it to look, not like the majority Democrats want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing the same in other areas. Essentially, the Republicans seem to think they can control this agenda through the media. They're using their own right-wing media. Obviously, Limbaugh has taken the lead in his attack, saying he wants to see Obama fail. And that's now become sort of picked up and is sifting into the mainstream media. If you watch CNN, they're always talking about how Obama has failed in his bipartisanship. It's not that the Republicans are being obstructionists. It's that Obama has failed. So you're seeing this across the board. I think that's also reflected in some of the timidity that we've seen with Holder and Panetta and others in their confirmation hearings.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it is bleeding through, and it is inviting the Republicans to act like they're still in charge. And it is remarkable. He has gotten tougher here toward the end of the week and is trying to call their bluff. And now the so-called centrists or moderates in the Democratic caucus in the Senate are falling out on him. This guy, Ben Nelson, is a real pain in the neck. And Claire McCaskill is hard to predict, too. She's the senator from Missouri, who, on the one hand, has criticized the Republicans and the Wall Street greedsters, but she turns around then and attacks certain parts of it, like the NEA, $50 million, a piddling amount for arts and artists and nonprofit organizations. It would be a true stimulus. It would flow to people who really need it. It would have a fairly quick effect. And yet we see Democrats really failing to line up loyally with their own president.
Well, they're also feeling that same pressure from the media that they're under the attack. The liberals have never built that media infrastructure we've talked about. The
yeah.
conservatives did.
Mm-hmm.
And in situations like this, there's a price to pay. And I think you're seeing that some of the Democrats getting nervous. If Obama can't take and really drive this home and appeal to the American people, he's got problems.
Well, the other thing that we're seeing is Daily Kos and others have done reports on who's being interviewed on the cable news shows. And it's heavily dominated by Republicans. We're not hearing, Democrats who support the stimulus package. We are hearing from Republicans who oppose it.
Remember in the old days, in the early part of this decade, when they'd only have Republicans on those shows because the Democrats were out of power,
mm-hmm.
and so the Democrats didn't matter. Even going in the run-up to the war with Iraq,
yep.
no one was quoting leading Democrats because they didn't matter. Now it's flipped again, and we're now saying, well, we have to have the Republicans on, even more so than the Democrats, even though the Republicans are out of power. It's this kind of double thing that we've almost gotten used to in Washington.
Yeah. Well, Bob, I hope you feel better. Pour a little scotch on that if you're so inclined.
Okay.
I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Peter.
Robert Perry. Read his work at consortiumnews.com. Coming up next, we're going to have a little fun. We're going to tour these United States and look at some progressive landmarks and, destinations. Writer Jerome Pullen will join me next, right here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood. Forecasting, whether it's economic, weather, climatic, or political forecasting, is never an exact science. Short-range forecasting is always easier because sometimes you can see things coming, but over time, prediction gets a little more difficult. It's like what Forrest Gump said about life.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Some forecasting about sea level rise will have to be revised now, as you'll hear after this.
Are you looking to hire experienced software and hardware engineers, DBAs, storage engineers, project managers? Then look to Dice.com. For over 17 years, Dice, the number one online technology job board, has focused exclusively on tech jobs. Post your open technology positions on Dice to access the best tech talent. Or search through thousands of resumes from qualified engineering and tech professionals from all across the country. Visit Dice.com. Dice.com.
If you've ever wanted a truly spectacular diamond ring, you'll want to visit Jared this weekend. That's because this weekend, when you purchase your diamond at Jared, you'll receive up to a $1,000 reward toward the purchase of a beautiful diamond setting. Choose from thousands of diamonds and have your one-of-a-kind ring created right here at Jared in time for Valentine's Day. Get set in diamonds this weekend for a reward worth up to $1,000. This weekend, only at Jared.
It can only be Jared.
You and I are at the mercy of constantly changing political, economic, and planetary climate. What geoscientist Peter Clark of Oregon State University has to say should be of more than passing interest. We've known about melting ice sheets for some time now.
In addition to that, there are other factors that influence how that water is distributed around the world, so that in some places that water will actually go up higher than you might expect otherwise.
Which parts of the world?
In many parts of the world, and especially around North America, the sea level rise will be even greater than was previously projected.
That's our part of the world. What water?
From the West Antarctic Ice Sheet, which is the one that we investigated, it turns out that where most of that water is going to be pushed up against is against the coastlines of North America.
And which North American coastlines in particular?
Let's say 3 feet of melting from the West Antarctic Ice Sheet. Then coastal cities around much of North America and much of the United States would see that 3 feet of sea level rise plus an additional foot of sea level rise for a total of 4 feet because of these other factors that are influencing how that water is distributed.
Now, this will happen right away, says Clark. We just thought it worth mentioning.
And especially those effects that cause the sea level to be much greater than you would expect otherwise. And so for planners, they really need to plan for these other effects as well as just what they hear about from the melting of the ice itself.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Want to meet a health care provider that will give you the time to talk about your health issues and actually listen to you? Are you looking for an alternative to the pill-popping culture created by the megaceutical companies? Do you have chronic pain, headaches, depression, allergies, or any other unresolved health concerns? Give Optimal Health a try. Hi, I'm Glenn Sadowski, licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey at 655-3208. I'll be at the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore in downtown Carmel on the second and fourth Sundays of each month. Reserve your space for an absolutely free 20-minute health evaluation, a wonderful opportunity to make an informed decision on your well-being. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture at 655-3208 today. Times are limited. Optimal Health, where you receive good medicine with great results. Our number again is 655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
What do you say? Let's hit the road, have a little fun, crisscross America, and check out progressive landmarks and attractions.
Well, I've been it ever since I was a kid at school. Now they love me in Newcastle and Liverpool. I'm as hard as a pistol, I can do no wrong. I've been in Birmingham and Bristol, played my song. Take a 777 to the USA. Gonna party all night, I'm gonna sleep all day. See New York City, cause I've never been. New York City in a limousine. To America, to America.
That's Mark Knopfler, the Dire Straits guy. And it's called Do America. Joining us now is Jerry Polin. He's a Chicago radio guy, travel writer, political activist, and he ran for Congress last year as a Green Party candidate. Jerry, welcome to the show today.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's great to talk with you.
Great.
How's Chi-Town today?
It's warmed up. It's in the 40s.
Oh, good. That's why I left. Well, I am really pleased that you can join us today, and I thank you for this interesting and fun book for progressives. And it's something that people should buy and stash, in the glove box if your car still has one of those. And when you're cruising around in different places, you can pull it out and take a look at progressive history and some of the landmarks. And some of them are a little grisly, like the Lorraine Hotel in Memphis, but that is on some people's charts, I'm sure. Tell me what made you decide to compile this, and how many miles did you put on what kind of vehicle to put it all together?
Well, I've been writing travel books for some time now, and there was a series of travel books that came out called Oddball Illinois, Oddball Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
and I was kind of interested in those type of offbeat places to visit. But I've always been involved in left wing political movements all my life and activism. And so I thought, well, there's no guidebook out there that's for someone like me who wants to actually visit some of these historic sites,
mm-hmm.
Or locations where Supreme Court decisions or movements began. And many of them I didn't even know where they began. I didn't know where the ACLU was founded. I didn't know where many of these things were. So I began as a project for myself,
mm-hmm.
and it developed into a book.
And where was the ACLU founded? I frankly don't know myself.
It was founded in New York City,
mm-hmm.
And it was founded in response to a race riot that broke out in Springfield, Illinois, not long after the turn of the century, and it was a response to that. They call them race riots, but I mean, it was really nothing more than an attack on the African American population in Springfield, Illinois,
mm-hmm.
Abe Lincoln's own hometown. So it was founded in New York, and they had a public meeting at the in a hall, and it started from there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jerry, I have to tell you that your book got my attention because of the Ben and Jerry's van on the cover. And I am addicted to Cherry Garcia. Just polished off another pint last night. I actually named my love handles Ben and Jerry. And I have
been... Well, you're lucky you only have two handles.
I actually told Ben about that once. I haven't managed to tell Jerry. But I have actually been to the original store in Burlington, Vermont. My grandfather was born a few miles away from there, and I still have some cousins who live really, literally, three blocks away from the original store downtown. I think I was last there in the early 90s or so. But it was fun just to drop in and see the mothership. I've been to the Nordstrom mothership in Seattle, and frankly, the Ben and Jerry's mothership is more exciting for me.
And now they've got tours of their factory just outside of town, too.
Mm-hmm. And so what does it mean, other than, you know, you and I like the ice cream, why are Ben and Jerry's a progressive icon?
Well, it has to do with like a socially responsible corporation, mm-hmm. and the fact that they give a certain amount, a certain percentage, 5% of their pre-tax profits for charitable charitable endeavors, and they also, you know, they buy locally where they can, and you know they really kind of spearheaded this activist progressive approach to how they ran their company, and you know it started off small, but I mean they've been able to maintain this even though you know they're owned by Unilever now.
Yeah. That is disappointing. Now, also, while we're in Burlington, you've got Burlington City Hall, which launched socialist Bernie Sanders into progressive politics. He is now the junior senator from Vermont. And, gosh, I heard him on Tom Hartman's program just this morning.
Yeah, and also in Burlington, it's where Howard Dean got his start.
That's right.
He and a group, they took an old railway, a railway line that ran along Lake Champlain there, and they converted it into a bike path, and he enjoyed getting involved with that whole process so much that he got involved in local politics and eventually worked his way up and became governor after the governor of Vermont passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He was the lieutenant governor at the time.
Mm-hmm. And also gay civil unions were established in Milton, Vermont. That was an important landmark.
Correct, correct. And there's a great book called Civil Wars about all the individuals that, that led up into that. But the very first one is in Milton. The very first, I don't know if you'd call it, it wouldn't be a ceremony. It would be a civil union at the town hall there in Milton, Vermont.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so did you actually travel and visit these locations, or was this kind of a web-based compilation of information that you researched?
No, actually, I visited virtually every place on here at some point in the last 10 years.
Wow.
There are a few places that, you know, there was really nothing to go to, so I didn't necessarily go there. For example, I have the stadium where the Dixie Chicks kind of came back and kind of responded to the criticism they had received when Natalie Maines spoke out against George Bush on the eve of the Iraq War,
mm-hmm.
And they were threatened. They were threatened to be killed at the United Airlines. American Airlines stadium in Dallas, Texas. And so I have that as the location, but it's not like you go there and you're going to see a plaque
mm-hmm,
to
right.
the Dixie Chicks. But it was very important in that whole
speaking out
against the war
mm-hmm.
Story.
I remember that. Jerome Poland is our guest here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's with us till the top of the hour, and I have four copies of his book, Progressive Nation, a travel guide with 400-plus, pardon me, I can't get rid of this cough, 400-plus inspiring landmarks and left turns. And if you call into the program between now and the top of the hour and give us a progressive landmark that's in your own travel history or just on your mind, we'll reward you with a copy of the book. And anybody else who's claimed a book from our Bush-bashing bookshelf purge, I'm going to go to the post office either over the weekend or Monday and get those in the mail. So call in at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, and you can contribute a landmark for progressives or someplace that's important to you, and join us here in the conversation. Now, here's one that I wouldn't have thought of, Jerry, about New York, and I commend you for it. This is the site of John Stewart slaying the monsters of Crossfire, and in fact, after he went on the show, CNN canceled it shortly thereafter. And the way he slammed that little mother, Tucker Carlson, and I always say that very carefully, really is something quite memorable. So I'm glad that you captured this.
Yeah, it was one where they brought him on the show, and they really didn't. You know, they were expecting just a comedy bit. It was Paul Begala, and Tucker Carlson, and Jon Stewart. And this is something that I encourage anybody to go to YouTube if you haven't seen it already. But
mm-hmm.
he basically didn't do any of the comedy shtick and went after the idea of Crossfire, that every issue has to debate, it has to degenerate into this on-air fighting of talking points between two different sides. And he basically came out and said, you got to stop this. This is hurting the public debate. It's really not, you know, it's not offering anything to the general discussion about where we're going in this country. And Tucker Carlson took exception to that he mm-hmm. was part of such a thing, and basically tried to go back after John Stewart, and that was probably the wrong move on his part.
Mm-hmm.
And before it was over, of course, you know, Paul Begala is trying to stop this debate between the two of them, and finally John Stewart, you know, I think talked about his bow tie and how he needed to change what he was doing, and the audience that had been collected for Crossfire actually cheered on his criticism of Tucker Carlson. So
sure did. Yeah,
so it had the producers, I'm sure. wisened up after that.
We're talking to Jerome Poland. His new book is called Progressive Nation. It gives you information about 400-plus different inspiring landmarks for lefties. And if you'd like to add a contribution, call us right now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I got a copy of the book for the first four callers.
I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud of all the good things we've done.
Takes you way back into the 70s. Those are the Tubes out of San Francisco. And I'm a myopic Californian now, Jerry, so let's shift here to the left coast.
Okay.
You take us to the free speech movement site, Sproul Hall, in Berkeley at the University of California.
Right. It was a response to an individual, because it's Weisberg, is that the name?
Cap Weinberger was in government here in California. Ed Meese was a district attorney who, on the orders of Ronald Reagan, stood up to the free speechers. And then there was S.I. Hayakawa, who later became a Republican senator, who cracked down not at Berkeley but across the bay at San Francisco State.
Right, but there was an individual. He had a card table, and
Jake Weinberg. I've got
Jake
the book
Weinberg,
open. I can see. Yeah.
And the campus police tried to arrest him for passing out literature having to do with going to the South for the Freedom School.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was put in a squad car, students surrounded the car, and they basically held it hostage for a day. And that was kind of the birthplace of the free speech movement.
Mm-hmm. You also have Manzanar, the National Historic Site, where one of the internment camps for Japanese Americans was established during World War II.
Right, and in Independence, and it's really one of the few places from that whole dark stain on our history where you can actually go and visit and see some of the remnants of the camps that they had there. In the book, I really discuss some of the individuals who challenged the deportation orders that imprisoned Japanese Americans during World War II.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a call now. Here's Ryan in Arcata, and I think what Ryan's going to tell us is actually in the book. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I was just going to say there's some spots here outside Arcata, California, well, one in particular, where you can see some remaining old growth that's left up here, and there's trees that are there holding down the forest there for us, and I would call that a progressive landmark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have the story about Julia Hill, Butterfly Hill, one of the kind of best-known tree sitters in the Northern California region.
And is Luna still standing?
Yes, it is.
Is it? Okay.
She didn't come down until they came up with an agreement. I think it's about 3 acres that are around the tree that's now a protected area.
Mm-hmm.
And she got the logging companies to help fund an institute just to preserve the area around the tree, because it's not simply the tree itself, but of course the erosion that occurs when other trees around it are cleared out.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, very good call. Hang on here. We'll get your address, and we'll mail you out a copy of this exciting new book.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, good to have you on the program today. Progressive Nation is the title, subtitled A Travel Guide with 400-plus Inspiring Landmarks and Left Turns. And there's still room for you to give us a call and get a copy for your own self. Just contribute a landmark, hopefully in the United States, that matters to progressives or matters to you as a progressive. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. More in a moment with Jerry Poland here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
What would life be without flowers? It would be like a birthday cake with no candles, a wedding with no ring. It would be like a graduation without friends and relatives, a promotion without a raise. Thankfully, life is full of flowers and reasons to give them. In fact, sometimes the best reason is no reason at all. And all you have to do is stop by or call Ferrari Florists and Gifts. You see, flowers from Ferrari Florists and Gifts are more personal and special because whatever you're celebrating, we can create unique arrangements from a wide selection of fresh-cut flowers, and we can deliver them the same day. So you can enjoy life and even declare your love with flowers. Call Ferrari Florists and Gifts today at 460-7000 or visit our website at www.ferrariflorist.com and we'll help you realize the true potential of flowers. Ferrari Florists and Gifts, 514 Front Street, Santa Cruz, experts in the art of expression.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, Crisscrossing America, taking a look at progressive landmarks.
One to the rich, one to the sun, one to the morning, one to the one.
There's the San Francisco treasure, Michael Fronte and Spearhead. It's called East to the West. And Jerry Poland, taking a look at a few other California locations here, I'm glad that you included Alcatraz and its history of the occupation by Native Americans.
Correct. I mean, they occupied it for almost a year. And it was in response to the American Indian movement, which actually started out in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And the occupation of Alcatraz had to do with a according to a treaty that was signed with Native American tribes that way back in the 1800s,
mm-hmm.
that any abandoned federal land could be claimed by Native Americans, or reclaimed by Native Americans, and when Alcatraz closed, it was a perfect candidate. So it was a way of making a point about the land that had been stolen from Native Americans,
mm-hmm.
And through this occupation.
And people can also check out, you mentioned John Trudell in here. He is an amazing musician and spoken word artist with a massive collection of recordings. And if you've never sampled that, and you can find it at iTunes or wherever you go, I really recommend it. He's an amazing guy.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Michael in the beautiful burg of Kashawa, California, just east of Carmel Valley. Great to hear from you, Michael.
Wow, great to be heard from.
How are you doing today?
Good. It's finally damp out here, though the creek isn't flowing yet.
Oh, the creek near my house is, we got white water this morning. We had a nice downpour, and we're real thirsty here, so it's good to see it.
Amen. I had two kind of semi-obscure places for you.
All right.
In Carmel Valley Village. One, Richard Farina was our East Coast version of Mario Savio in a way.
Mm-hmm.
He did a similar thing at Cornell. And he wrote a book called Been Down So Long, It Looks Like Up to Me, which is the first really, I don't know, sort of lefty comic novel.
Now, I thought that was a Doors song.
Been Down So Long, It Looks Like Up to Me.
Yeah, I've been down so G.D. long. I love that tune.
Well, this was 66 or 67.
Well,
and,
maybe Jim Morrison borrowed it from him. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that book title.
Oh, no, it's a great one. And he was married to Mimi Farina.
That's right.
And on her 21st birthday, the book came out, and they had a party at the old Thunderbird bookstore, which is now a spa at the end of Carmel Village, Valley Village, across from Renan. And he, they went to buy some pot on a motorcycle, and he crashed and died.
Oh, wow.
Right there by the bucket.
Uh-huh.
But across the street is the Blue Sky Lodge, and at one point, Joan Baez and Bob Dylan tried to check in there as a couple. And they wouldn't let them. They had to go in separate rooms. And Dylan was so pissed off, he went into his room and wrote Masters of War.
Oh, wow.
I know, it's pretty obscure. Huh? I'm a geek. What can I tell you?
Well, you definitely earn a book, Michael. I'm happy to pass one along to you. And when's your next dinner there at the general store?
Monday night.
Monday night? And what's on the menu?
I'm just coming back from PL Bar Ranch. And... we've got a load of organic meat. We've got all kinds of stuff here.
Mm.
Hanger steaks and short ribs and you know, Italian twist-style shanks we're going to be doing.
Wow,
so
okay.
We're also on Saturday, we're doing, we're trying to, the store's going to try to be a monument in the future. It's we're off and it's Valentine's Day, so we're going to have a Code Pink Valentine's Day dinner.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Well, I've only been there once, but I had a fabulous time. It was Halloween. You're a great chef, and you do eclectic things. So if people are looking for a nice outing in the Monterey Bay area, go for dinner on a Monday night at the Kashawa General Store.
And thanks for supporting Code Pink. Code Pink's in the book as well.
All right, Michael.
Yeah, we've actually had them out to our store. Medea and Ray came out there to the store. So
mm-hmm.
the menu we're working on, I'm having the kids on it, with things like Fidel casserole. And so it'll be a left-wing dinner as well.
Great. Michael, thanks for checking in. Great to hear
all
from
right,
you today.
Care, gentlemen.
He's a really cool guy. Hey, and Jerry, we got word from Julie in Arcata. Not Julia, but Julie. Luna did come down. It was diseased, and a windstorm caused damage to trees nearby, and that, according to her, that tree has come down.
Oh, really?
Yep, I didn't know that, but when you do a talk show like this, we have as the resource everybody who's listening, so go ahead and check that out.
That.
Yeah, very interesting. And I've got 1 minute left. Where would you like to take us to a progressive landmark anywhere in America that's in your book?
You know, one of my favorites is this little school in Canterbury, Connecticut, and it was a school started by Prudence Crandall in 1833, and it was the first integrated school in New England. And Prudence Crandall received all kinds of harassment from her neighbors. They threw her in jail, and she decided to stay in jail as an act of civil disobedience. And it was 12 years before Henry David Thoreau ever did the same thing. So she was a real groundbreaker, and it's one of my favorite spots in the entire book.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us. And how much did Keith Olbermann pay you for the rights to Oddball?
He hasn't paid me a dime.
Well, then you got to appear on his show. He owes you.
Well, he's in the book, too.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Jerome Poland, Progressive Nation, is the new book. It's a lot of fun, and put it on your shelf. Read it. Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks for having me.
Yep, my pleasure. Good to talk with you. Stand by for more of the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next hour, we're going to take a look at the policy toward Afghanistan, what I call the trap. And Saul Landau, filmmaker and academic, will join us to explain who Zippy Livni is. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the Internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the Internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your Internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Progress on Capitol Hill.
A possible breakthrough in the Senate on that huge stimulus bill, but it's still not a done deal.
Unemployment at 7.6%.
It's not going to get any better anytime soon.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. A compromise stimulus package is taking shape in the Senate right now. We go live to Capitol Hill and CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
Bill, this tentative deal negotiated by moderates in both parties and White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel would trim the bill from over $900 billion to $780 billion. This is still very much a work in progress, but the hope of Senate Leader Harry Reid is it can win over the handful of Republican votes he needs to overcome solid opposition from the rest of the Republicans, including Lindsey Graham of South Carolina.
The problems are massive. The spending bill is too large.
But during a day of intense backroom dealing and growing pressure, Reid warned, without this economic stimulus, we could slip into another depression.
We're not there, but we've got to do something to turn this around, or we will be there.
We aren't there on this bill yet either. Even if the Senate manages to pass it tonight or over the weekend, it still must survive a conference with the House, where Speaker Nancy Pelosi already says she doesn't like these cuts. Live on Capitol Hill, Bob Fuss, CBS News.
The prospect of a stimulus fueled optimism on Wall Street. The Dow rose 217 points to finish the week at 8280. The market's looking forward to Monday when Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner unveils the administration's plans for the second half of the TARP fund. Now this.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from the hood of your car.
Hey, don't worry about your engine, because I got it covered.
Yeah, well, you are the hood, but I'm still going to my Ford dealer.
All right, road trip.
Yeah, the Works Fuel Saver package is only $29.95 or less after a mail-in rebate.
Peanuts.
Oil change, tire rotation, multi-point inspection.
I can't beat that, although I do know a guy.
No, thanks.
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fee extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for $10 rebate details through 33109.
And now, another reason to switch to Geico.
Every month, we get lots of letters telling us how much folks like Geico's claim service. And I quote, "The adjuster assigned to my claim was incredible. He walked me through everything." Then there's this one. Geico.com is very useful and lets you track your claims. And this. "I filed a claim at 4:15 on Thursday afternoon, and my car was in the shop at 10 a.m. on Friday." And my personal favorite, "Easy Squeezy Lemon Peasy."
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Today's report from the Labor Department put more pressure on Congress. Last month, the economy lost 600,000 jobs, pushing the unemployment rate to 7.6%.
Everyone knew it was going to be bad, and it is. It's a little worse than anticipated. It just confirms the fear that things are unraveling.
Mark Zandi at MoodysEconomy.com expects the jobless rate to go even higher in the months ahead. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says almost every sector of the economy is affected.
There are only two places where your job seems secure right now, and that's if you work for the government or if you're in the healthcare industry. And that's pretty much it. You know, outside of that, almost everybody has taken a hit.
And even government workers are making sacrifices. In California, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has ordered more than 200,000 employees to take two unpaid days off each month. This was one of them. State agencies shut down, and DMV worker Lana Clark Braxton was on the outside looking in.
There's still a pay reduction, and we can't serve the customer, and we can't generate revenue for the state.
Girls as young as nine are encouraged to get Gardasil, the vaccine against cervical cancer. But CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson reports there's new evidence of the link between Gardasil and serious side effects.
The National Vaccine Information Center, a private vaccine safety group, compared Gardasil adverse events to another vaccine, one also given to young people but for meningitis. Gardasil had tripled the number of ER visits, 5,000. Reports of side effects were up to 30 times higher.
Gardasil's maker, Merck, and the FDA say the vaccine is safe and effective and the benefits outweigh the risks. Administration officials say some U.S. combat troops might be in Iraq for nearly two more years. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive explains.
At the start of this week, President Obama said he'll be announcing in a formal way his plans to reduce troop strength in Iraq while sending more troops to Afghanistan. Officials now say the Iraq strategy is down to three options: get all the combat troops out of Iraq within 16 months, that was his campaign promise, or in 19, or in 23 months. The Defense Department is analyzing the risks of each option.
Vice President Joe Biden told House Democrats today that there is an incredibly perilous road ahead for the U.S. military. He said much more needs to be done in Iraq, and we have a long, long way to go in Afghanistan. There's late word from Los Angeles that actor James Whitmore has died. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Thanks for seeing us, Doctor.
Danny's warm. Let's get a temperature.
I want the Star Wars thermometer.
Absolutely, Danny.
What kind of thermometer is that?
The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer is what he means. Just a gentle scan across the forehead gives a fast, accurate reading. We're using it on all our patients now. It's good for the whole family. No more ears or rears.
Wowee, Mom, can we get one too? I can't wait to take everyone's temperature.
The Exergen Temporal Scanner, a better thermometer. Home model available at Walmart, Walgreens, Costco, Sam's Club, Babies R Us, and Toys R Us.
Experience it and win with Tempur-Pedic. If you've been waiting for the absolute best time to try a life-changing Tempur-Pedic Swedish sleep system, this is it. Visit a participating retail store today and get your game piece for a chance to win $10,000 just for trying a Tempur-Pedic mattress. Simply call, click, or visit a participating retailer near you today to find out how. Call 1-800-433-2720 or visit Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. That's 1-800-433-2720 or Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. For official rules, go to www.experienceitandwin.com. Contest ends 3809. Offer void where prohibited.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We're heard up and down the left coast from Big Sur to the Canadian border. And this hour gets played on KPOJ in Portland, late night and Saturday. Oh, Sunday. I got it right. And Sunday at noon on Green 960 in San Francisco. Wherever you are, however you're listening, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
I don't know what matters to you at this moment, but that's all that matters to me. How are you?
Later this hour, filmmaker, academic, and radio commentator Saul Landau will join us. Give us some background on Zippy Livni. She's the foreign secretary of Israel right now and a candidate for prime minister in Tuesday's elections. Joining me now is Con Hallinan, one of the Fighting Hallinan legal family members here from great San Francisco tradition. Con, welcome to our program today.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
I've had a chance to meet a couple of your brothers, your mom and your dad, and I think I may have met you somewhere along the way.
I think you did, yeah.
Yeah, but you come from a family with a great tradition of speaking out and fighting injustice. Your father, Vincent, and your mom were both on the front lines of many battles over the years, going all the way back to the waterfront strike of the 1930s here in San Francisco?
1934.
Yeah. And I am ever grateful to your brother Patrick, who helped me on a legal case, and we just celebrated 10 years of freedom for a life inmate that he helped us spring from San Quentin.
He's good at that.
Yes, he is. And I have an article here that you wrote for Foreign Policy and Focus. Tell us a little more about you and what you do.
Well, mainly what I do now, what I used to do is I used to run the journalism program at UC Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for 23 years, and I was the provost of one of the colleges at Santa Cruz. Then I retired in 2004 and sort of full-time became a foreign policy analyst for Foreign Policy and Focus, which is part of the Institute for Policy Study.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I do some freelancing. I just did a piece on Afghanistan for a Barcelona newspaper.
Great. Well, if you'll indulge me a moment, I wanted to give people a kind of look back at the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan in the 1980s.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very offbeat approach. This is a musical satire that was put together by a British punk and techno-pop band from the 70s and 80s called The Stranglers. And it's in the voice of a mythical character, a Soviet soldier named Vladimir. And this is a quick look at his experiences in Soviet-occupied Afghanistan. Idea.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know what happened to the Soviet Union.
Absolutely. There's a really interesting book that people might want to pick up called The Bear Went Over the Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan. And, you know, you don't have to go to the Soviets. You can go back to the British in the 19th century. Hell, you can go back to Alexander the Great.
Yeah.
A lot of empires have marched across Afghanistan and turned to dust in the process. It's not a place that you want to fight a war.
Now, about a week ago, the new president made a trip across the Potomac to the Pentagon, met with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and reportedly asked a point-blank question. What is our end game in Afghanistan? And there was a pause, and then the response, well, frankly, Mr. President, we don't know.
Yeah, that's right. They don't.
Now, what should we be doing, Con Hallinan, and how do we square Obama getting it right about Iraq, even if it's imperfect? You know, he hasn't promised to pull all troops out of there, and we don't know about the contractors, and the General Odierno seems to be trying to dilute the plan to bring two brigades home a month. But he has the right intention about Iraq, and he made the comment during one of the debates last year that he wanted to change the mindset that got us into Iraq. But that's the mindset that is causing him to listen to Robert Gates, the Republican holdover, and other generals who say, well, let's just put more troops in there.
It will have exactly the opposite effect, and we have evidence for that. What most Americans don't realize was that there was a surge of troops in 2005. In the spring of 2005, there was a big jump in the number of Canadian and British and Dutch troops moved into Helmand province, which is the province in the south and is the area with the largest amount of the opium selling, and it's also a stronghold for the Taliban.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, there were about 2,000 NATO troops in Helmand province, and the place was largely quiet. They were sent in there because they figured, well, this is an opportunity to sort of knock off the opium trade. The result of that now is that we have almost 10,000 troops in Helmand province. It's arguably the most dangerous province in Afghanistan. In 2005, the Taliban controlled about 54% of the country. They control 72% of the country today. The effect of the surge was that it provoked this resistance movement, which had been quiet, because the Taliban, most of the Taliban didn't go to Pakistan. Most of the Taliban are just villagers, and they just went home after the 2001 invasion. And they were going about their business when all of a sudden there's this big troop surge. When they started to fight back against the troop surge, there weren't enough troops to deal with the Taliban.
Mm-hmm.
So they bought in air power. Well, you know, the problem with air power is you know, you blow up whole villages and you kill a lot of civilians.
Well, we have managed to strike more wedding parties than Taliban strongholds,
and
it seems.
This is a traditional society in which if you kill someone, that's a blood debt. And Afghans make the Irish look like nothing. Really got serious memories. And you know, every time we do that, we don't just kill 91 people at a wedding party. We've made several thousand enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So a surge is exactly the wrong thing to do. What they ought to be doing is to first of all recognize that there's a difference between the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. To, you know, make that distinction, to sit down and talk with the Taliban. Now, again, most Americans don't know this. Mullah Omar, who is the leader of the Taliban section that's based in Pakistan. It's not the largest section, but it's sort of what we think of as the Taliban. He's made a 7-point peace proposal, which is a basis to sit down and talk. I mean, they've at one point, the Taliban said they weren't going to talk until all NATO and U.S. troops were withdrawn. They've given up that demand.
Really?
So they're talking in terms of, look, let's sit down and talk about this. And the Taliban is... it's a very kind of varied organization. It used to be a much more kind of tight-knit extremist organization. Now it's sort of nationalist and local people, and the politics of it vary enormously from province to province. So in one province, you'll have, you know, girls who go to school get acid thrown in their faces, awful mm-hmm. things. And the next province over, you'll have the local Taliban building schools for people to go to school, not mm-hmm. girls, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, surging troops in there is going to spark what we did in 2005 and make it worse. It's just, it's really, it's awful. And the last part that's most dangerous here is that it's no longer the war in Afghanistan. It's now the war in Pakistan.
Yeah.
Only we're talking about destabilizing a country that has at least 100 nuclear weapons. This is really not the direction we want to go.
Well, and recently we've seen, it's attributed to Taliban guerrillas, but they blew up a critical bridge in the Khyber Pass. That is the land route for resupplying American and other forces in Afghanistan. Most people know Afghanistan's a landlocked country, and this is a critical supply route. They not only blew up the bridge, but as our trucks backed up there at that choke point, they started setting trucks on fire.
Yeah, 75% of all of our goods go through the Khyber Pass.
Mm-hmm. And so these are very real challenges for the new president. And, Con, we're going to take a break here, but when we come back, I want to see if you see any signs of a shift on Obama's part in his inaugural address. He kind of changed his language about Afghanistan.
He did.
But I'm very concerned that we're walking into a big trap there, and I'm really glad to amplify your voice and others speaking out about this critical issue. We'll take a break and return. Con Hallinan is talking with us today. You can read his work at Foreign Policy in Focus. And if you have a question or a comment, you can call me now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. Hey,
we are Tomorrow Matters is back on air Sundays from 10 to 11 a.m.
Green Talk Radio for the Central Coast.
I'm Deborah Lindsay.
And I'm Spencer Lindsay.
Join us as we dazzle you with local solutions to environmental issues.
We'll be talking about things like climate change,
green building,
alternative energy and transportation,
water conservation,
organic farming,
and bicycles,
and a whole lot more.
Join us on KRXA 540 AM, Sunday mornings at 10.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Hi, I'm Audrey Williams.
And I'm Melvin Williams.
Check out our new show, Holy Hip Hop on the Block, every Saturday from 10 to 12 noon, right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Check us out.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. In Salinas, on the northbound 101 just south of Ralph Lane, we have a collision with no details. And on the northbound 101 just north of Martinez Road, there's an accident with an ambulance responding. Also in Salinas, we've had a solo collision on the northbound 101 just south of Gould Road. A vehicle has sped out into the center divide. Also in Salinas, on Highway 183 at North Davis Road, there is a traffic hazard. Look out for the long knife in the right lane intersection there. Heading up to Santa Cruz, we have a collision with an ambulance responding on the northbound one just north of Highway 129. And on the Plymouth Street on-ramp to the southbound one, we have a collision with no injuries. That's traffic on AM 540. Have a safe commute, everyone. Peter B. will be right back.
We continue with Peter B. Collins. I'm glad you're listening today. 22 minutes after the hour, my guest is Con Hallinan. And as he mentioned, he's affiliated with the Institute for Policy Studies, and it's just a scheduling coincidence, but our next guest, Saul Landau, is also a fellow there. And one of my favorite people at IPS is Phyllis Bennis, who has done great job dealing with contentious issues and related to our policies toward the Middle East. Con, I have a quick clip here from the Obama inauguration address, which is really the last I have heard him address the concerns about Afghanistan. And it was in a single sentence here. Let's listen.
We will begin to responsibly leave Iraq to its people and forge a hard-earned peace in Afghanistan.
So he talked about increasing troops, and he also, to be fair to him, in the fall campaign, discussed much more than a military buildup. He talked about engaging the neighbors. He talked about a regional approach. And so I don't want to oversimplify his call, but this was a shift in language for him to talk about forging a lasting peace.
Well, I agree. I agree, Peter. I think I have that same, I have the speech here in front of me, and I have that underlined there. And, you know, it was a different tone than we're going to win the war in Afghanistan. You know, hard-earned peace, hopefully what we mean by that is that there's going to be negotiations within Afghanistan, negotiations with the Taliban, and it does have to be a regional peace. And we have to talk to the Iranians, we have to talk to the Pakistanis, we got to talk to the Russians, to the Chinese, to the Kyrgyz, to the Indians, you know, sort of everybody in the neighborhood, because everything's all linked. The other important line in that inauguration was toward the end, he said that, quote, our power alone cannot protect us, nor does it entitle us to do as we please, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an enormous step away from the Bush administration's 2002 West Point Doctrine, which was basically, you know, we're going to kick your butt if you don't agree with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think those two phrases in there give me a lot of hope. My worry is that you know, there's a quality of Afghanistan. The way I kind of think of it is that anybody who goes to Afghanistan, everybody who invades Afghanistan, it kind of deranges them. It's sort of like eating the lotuses, you know, and with Odysseus's men in the Odyssey, and people sort of forget, and they forget that, you know, the British have fought now their fourth war in Afghanistan, that the surge didn't work, that, you know, what happened to the Russians. They have these kinds of illusions that, you know, if you just put enough troops in and you just do this and you just do that, you'll get the job done. And that's my worry. I think that there's a way in which escalation starts small, but it kind of, you know, sucks you in, and you don't want to back away, and you don't want to look weak, and all this kind of stuff. And then the next thing you know, you're up to your neck in the Hindu Kush, and you know, all of the invading armies that have disappeared into those mountains and deserts. You just become one of them.
Yeah.
And that, you know, so that's my concern. I do think the other thing is that we have a terrible economic situation, you know, the worst since the Great Depression. And at this point, Afghanistan's burning up about somewhere between $2 and $4 billion a month.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we can afford that, Peter.
Yeah. The other issue here, as you alluded to a little while ago, Con, is Pakistan. And to me, that's the real flashpoint. That's where the Taliban was created as a way of trying to control their border with Afghanistan. It certainly backfired. But we've got real problems there with this fledgling government under Zardari and the generals who control the they're both religious conservatives or extremists, and they control the nuclear weapons.
Absolutely.
And so to me, that is the gravest threat in the region, and we should be addressing that, not necessarily with deployments of troops.
Well, I do think that the real crisis in South Asia is not Afghanistan. The real crisis is Pakistan. And I think people, you know, really haven't followed how close India and Pakistan came in 1999 to a nuclear exchange.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at one point, the Pakistanis took their nuclear weapons out of storage and started loading them on board rockets and airplanes. And the Clinton administration found out about this, and the Pakistanis backed down and they put the nuclear weapons away. But on both sides, both India and Pakistan, people talk quite openly about the possibility of a nuclear war. I mean, at the level of the Indian defense minister, you know, said that India can survive a nuclear attack, but Pakistan cannot.
And the Mumbai attacks have complicated this even further.
Absolutely.
Khan Hallinan, we're out of time, but I thank you for your contribution.
Certainly.
Thanks for raising your voice on this issue.
Okay, thanks for having me, Peter.
Good to talk with you. That's
Bye.
Khan Hallinan, Institute of Policy Studies and Foreign Policy in Focus. Coming up next, Saul Landau. He's a filmmaker and also a fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies. And we're going to take a look at Israel with their elections coming up this Tuesday. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
On the next Quantum Leap, sweet spots. That's where the police go to give you a ticket. They go to their sweet spot. If you've gotten an unjust ticket and want to know more about how to fight it, call and give us your story on the Quantum Leap, Saturdays at 9 p.m. and Monday at 8. Sweet spots, all next week on the Quantum Leap on KRXA 540. Think for yourself. Sweet spots, unjust and not so sweet.
Who do we trust? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Right now, there's one person America seems to have absolute confidence in, and I think you know who it is.
Turn right 280, you can land runway 1 at Teterboro.
We can't do it.
Okay, which runway would you like at Teterboro?
We're going to be in the Hudson.
The only way an economic stimulus is going to get 80 votes in the Senate is if Captain Sullenberger endorses it. As it stands now in Congress, bipartisanship has left the building.
Because this bill stinks.
Ah, feel the love. And voters are just as conflicted. Take the latest CBS News poll.
What's the best way to end recession? By a margin of 59% to 22%, Americans say it's tax cuts.
Americans prefer the Republican position. But in the same poll, 77% said that Congress is, if anything, moving too slowly in passing the current bill, which is full of Democratic-style spending. So they want Congress to push ahead on a bill that most of the same people don't think will work. Here's the poll question we really need to ask. Should the future of the American economy be decided based on poll questions? Please no. Under our system, it's decided by the people we elect, who should be motivated not by what people think now, but by what they'll think on election day. Which means those elected officials should be motivated to do what works, no matter how crazy it might appear at the moment. Remember, Captain Sullenberger didn't pull the passengers when the engine stopped turning. He did what his instincts and training told him would work. And he also knew that his fate, too, depended on being right. Now this.
Whether you run a small business or a big enterprise, you face similar IT challenges every day, including network security, user productivity, network and application performance, and data storage and email retrieval. That's why over 70,000 businesses like yours count on Barracuda Networks to solve these challenges.
Right out of the box, without IT expertise, at a price that any business can afford.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for a free 30-day trial of any of our security, productivity, or storage appliances.
That's 888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or see for yourself at Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter V. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. You can drop me an email with comments pro or con. It's Peter at peterbcollins.com. Joining me now is Saul Landau. He is a professor, a filmmaker, and also a radio commentator. And he's now at American University. We talked to him a few years ago when he was at Cal Poly out here on the left coast. Saul Landau, welcome to our program today.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Well, it's nice to talk with you. And I'm intrigued by a recent article you wrote about Zippy Livni, the Israeli foreign minister, and her heritage. But before we get to that, just for background, I'd like to get your take on the 23-day incursion into Gaza that Israel just completed, and there's not a total ceasefire there. There's still been some exchanges since the so-called ceasefire that occurred just before our presidential inauguration. But what is your view of Israel's claim that they did this in self-defense?
Well, it's a stupid claim. To claim self-defense for a nation that has, how shall I say it, has nuclear weapons and F-16 fighter jets, and to claim that it was deeply threatened by poorly aimed mortars that didn't, occasionally kill people.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. But and then claim that these they had to attack civilian targets, namely apartment buildings, residential areas, and even a hospital, and kill, well, the toll was around 1,400 Palestinians, the vast majority of them civilians, and over a third of them women and children.
Mm-hmm.
And they did this, they said, because Hamas was hiding in or around these people. Well, even if this was true, I mean, imagine what Hitler said, Churchill's gang was hiding there in the houses of London. And that's why they had to fire those V-2 rockets into the British cities. And Stalin's Bolsheviks are hiding in all of the apartments of Leningrad at the time. And that's why they had to partially destroy that city. Or the Warsaw Ghetto, where the Jews staged an uprising.
Mm-hmm.
And Hitler retaliated, saying, we're not going to tolerate this this kind of threat to our security. It was ridiculous, Peter. Such a statement. And then they said, but those rockets are really deadly. But I didn't see Israel offering to trade one of their F-16s for, say, 1,000 rocket launchers.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Saul Landau, do you see this as an imitation or an extension of the Bush policy of preemption?
Well, it was a kind of preemption. That is, you go in there and, quote, teach a lesson. Albeit, what lesson that they were going to teach is not clear. I mean, every time you beat people up and kill their women and children, you don't make them obedient. You just make them more full of hate and wanting to kill you in return. So it's not clear. I mean, and preemption, if we go back, Peter, it was very clear after World War II, the United States insisted on having trials to set a clear statement in the law about what could not happen again. And Justice Robert Jackson, who was the lead prosecutor for the United States at the Nuremberg trials of the Nazi war criminals, began in his preface, and he explained to the German people, we're not putting your leaders, military and civilian, on trial because they lost the war. We're putting them on trial because they started the war. And this will show forever now that aggressive or preemptive war, totally illegal for any reason. There can be no justification whatsoever. Now, this was a law set down by a very rather conservative American jurist who was appointed as the head prosecutor. And it was a law, apparently, that's recognized by most of the world except for two countries, the United States and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
As George Bush certainly didn't pay any attention to that when he started a war in Iraq. Well, as Lyndon Johnson didn't pay any attention to it when he started the war in Vietnam, and as Israel paid no attention when it invaded Lebanon back in 1980 to teach, by the way, Peter, this exact same lesson that nobody ever seems to learn.
Saul Landau with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a comment, you're welcome to join us. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Since last summer, Saul Landau, we have been following the efforts of an international humanitarian group called the Free Gaza Movement. And they have repeatedly tried to send boats with peacekeepers and humanitarian aid from Cyprus into Gaza. They were successful once in July or August. One ship did get through. But just in the last few weeks, they had a large freighter with significant supplies. It was inspected, and there were no weapons or other military or even dual-use material. And just in the last couple of days, the Brotherhood ship, which is a fairly large freighter, went from Lebanon to Cyprus and then attempted to go ashore at Gaza. And in all these cases, the Israeli Navy, sometimes with the help of helicopter gunships, has interdicted these efforts on international waters and forced them to turn back. In one case, CNN cameras caught the ramming of one of these humanitarian boats.
Yes.
What is your comment on the way Israel handles these efforts to break the blockade for humanitarian purposes?
Well, I mean, Israel has become, strangely enough, an outlaw nation. You know, and I say this as a Jew, Peter, that Israel has given Jews a bad name. They've destroyed the two pillars on which Judaism rests, which is ethics and law. And this kind of behavior is, to my mind, astoundingly horrible. That when Israel has acted in defiance of international law now for decades, it has refused to comply with the United Nations resolutions, it continues to occupy territory and simply behave as a barbarian, and always claiming the same thing, by the way, self-defense and security. And, you know, when asked about negotiations, I don't know how many of the listeners were present at the press club airing, I think it was the 16th of January, when Israeli Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni appeared at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. It was on television.
Mm-hmm.
And she smugly assured all of the members of the National Press Club, this is, I think, almost a direct quote, that we will not negotiate with terrorists. And there was literally moral indignation just dripping from her lips.
Mm-hmm.
And I found this rather astounding because her father, Eitan Livni, was, in his time, the world's leading terrorist. He was the chief operations officer of the Irgun, a very right-wing Zionist gang that, after World War II, had a habit of sending letter bombs to the British authorities who were occupying Israel, or at the time it was Palestine,
right,
a British territory.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1946, Livni's gang blew up the King David Hotel in Jerusalem. I mean, they killed even some Jews in that bombing, along with people who had no relationship at all to the Israeli state, and, of course, some British intelligence officers. Now, ironically, Livni's operatives disguised themselves as Arabs. And, you know, in those days, well, who would suspect those benign Arabs?
Mm-hmm.
The people who looked like they might be violent Zionists would have attracted suspicion from the British security people. Now, ironically, later on, generations of right-wing Zionists have told the world that the Arabs, that if you wear, you know, what do you call those, kafirs?
A kafir.
The icon of terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, ironically, here's Tippi's own father. Well, of course, maybe she never negotiated with him. We have to accept that possibility.
Well, and aren't they using the Reagan dictionary here? Because when somebody commits an act of terrorism and you support it, they're called a freedom fighter. Mm-hmm. But when you oppose it, oh, they're terrorists, and, you know, they have to be dealt with in the most brutal manner.
Yes, exactly. So the word terrorist has, you know, come to lose meaning. When you apply it, certainly in the Middle East.
Well, and ask Bill Ayers.
Yes.
By the way, Bill is going to be back in the Bay Area in a few weeks and is scheduled to be on our program on February 20th, and I'm looking forward to talking with him again. Salt Landau, another aspect about Zippy Livni, she's a candidate for prime minister. It's a very contentious race there where they've been trying to out-hawk one another, and I believe that this in military action in Gaza was really a run-up to this election, and we've seen a lot of posturing by the various candidates. But tell us a little more about the history of Zippy Livni, because I only learned recently that she served in the Mossad, the CIA of Israel.
Yes. I mean, she's a very hard person. She's a hard woman. And I think that, you know, even though she's supposedly a centrist or right centrist, you were absolutely right, Peter, that each candidate is trying to show that they are more warlike than the other. She is obviously facing the leading contender in the polls in Israel, a former Prime Minister Benjamin or Bibi Netanyahu. And he's, by the way, a man who commemorated the bombing of the King David Hotel. And he honored the surviving bombers. He also honored the people who participated. You know, the Irgun members also participated in a massacre of Arabs at a particular town called Deir Yassin. This is an amazing thing. So what you said before about these people being called freedom fighters, well, they were on our side, so therefore they're okay. Now, that's only one. I mean, there's another party that's, also a little bit difficult to measure. It was the number five party in the polls, and it's a right-wing nationalist party which is advocating way more settlements in the West Bank, which is Palestinian territory, and it is calling for literally the liquidation of Palestinians, albeit it doesn't say how. This is Lieberman's party, and they have moved from fifth to third place in the polls. So I think it's very disconcerting that you see this kind of thing. The Israelis, you know, when you strip it down, talk about short-term blindness. Israel can't get rid of the Palestinians. It's tried since 1948. There's no way. The neighboring countries are not going to take them. The world will not permit their liquidation. If you have them all in one state, the Palestinians will very soon outnumber the Israelis, and if you want to hold on to democracy, that's the end of the Jewish state. If you want to have a two-state solution, you have to make a viable territory for the Palestinians to have a state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what Israel seemed to be moving toward, and it was moving toward that with the current president, Abbas, who is called a moderate, and he represents Fatah.
Right.
But the invasion of Gaza succeeded in severely weakening him, because what happened, as I said earlier, is that the Palestinians, not just in Gaza, but on the West Bank as well, turned from supporting those who supported Fatah, and now Hamas is far more popular than they were before the war. So the very party with which the Israelis hope to negotiate some kind of favorable solution, a two-state solution, is now weaker than ever.
And briefly, because we're about to take a break, but Saul, what did you think about Muammar Gaddafi's op-ed piece in the New York Times on Inauguration Day calling for a one-state solution?
Well, I thought it was disingenuous, but if you did have a one-state solution under Gaddafi's terms, of course, it would be absolutely wonderful. Everybody would love each other.
I don't think that's going to happen,
all
at
right.
least in my lifetime.
We're going to take a break and return with Saul Landau, and I want to ask him to comment on the changes in Washington and if this leads to meaningful shifts in U.S. policy toward the Israeli-Palestine conflict. And you can join us if you have a comment. 888-5, Peter B. is my number, 888-573-8372. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now in King City, there are defective traffic signals at Argo Road, just north of County Road G14. And in Salinas, we have some roadway flooding on Espinosa Road at Russell Road. Be very careful there. Vehicles are hydroplaning through the area. Taking a look at Cashville on Highway 183 at Pajaro Street, we have a two-vehicle collision. Moving up to Santa Cruz on Highway 236, just east of China Grade Road, there's a two-vehicle collision there as well. And on Highway 17, just north of Glenwood CTO, we have a two-vehicle collision, and one of the vehicles is blocking lanes 1 and 2. That's traffic on AM 540. Be safe out there, everybody, and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire Cornucopia Landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or a consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. We're talking with Saul Landau, filmmaker, academic, writer, and longtime commentator on Pacifica Radio. I appreciate all the work you've done, Saul.
Well, thank you, Peter. I appreciate your show, too.
Tell me a little bit about your thoughts about the potential for change with the Obama administration. He certainly is giving a high priority to the Israeli-Palestine conflict. He's named George Mitchell. Mixed feelings about that. I'd like to see Jimmy Carter on the same team, not necessarily the lead negotiator there, but somebody who certainly recognizes the plight of the Palestinians and what he fears is the apartheid that could develop if we really harden the wall, the settlements, the substandard roads that the Palestinians are forced to use, and all the checkpoints that limit their mobility. Tell me if you think there is a new day here, or is Obama basically embracing some of the same old policies?
Well, I think George Mitchell was not a bad pick. I mean, I was afraid need, he would pick somebody like Dennis Ross or Martin Indyk, who are basically Israeli toadies. But Mitchell comes from Lebanese parents and has some knowledge of the area and some sympathy for the people in the area. And he's not a guy who's easily pushed around or taken in. So I thought that Obama probably, given the political limitations on what anybody can do with Israel, made a good decision. He started out by not caving in to the forces of the Israeli lobby that has, over the decades, been able to control an enormous amount of the of U.S. policy and been able to literally intimidate members of Congress. I won't name his name, but a former member of Congress from San Francisco described the Israeli lobbying group called AIPAC, the American-Israel Political Action Committee, as the equivalent of a pit bull. And he says, and if you cross them in any way, this pit bull grabs you by the leg. And you go to lunch, and the pit bull's still on your leg, and by the time you go to bed that night, the pit bull's still sleeping with you. And when you wake up in the morning, he's still gnawing away at your leg.
Well, and Mearsheimer and Walt did a great job describing that in the book The Israel Lobby.
An excellent book.
So do you feel that there will be a shift here? Because, you know, you have to read some tea leaves here, but one of the first calls Obama made was to Abu Abbas, not to the Israelis. He didn't contact anybody related to Hamas, and, you know, I can understand that on day one.
But we have to hope, Peter, that their phone lines were taken out by the Israeli bombing.
Yeah. Well, but,
I don't think that was so.
Now, Hamas is a difficult set of issues. And, for example, I get emails daily from a staunch supporter of Israel, a blind supporter, a guy named Gershon. And he likes to send me these reports from the Middle Eastern press of some of the misdeeds of Hamas. And I'm not a defender of Hamas. I am a defender of the human rights of the Palestinian people. And I am opposed to occupation in Palestine, as I am in Iraq or anywhere else in the world. And yet I find the one-sided views of many Americans who will, you know, take whatever Israel says at face value, discount anything that comes from the Palestinians, and they paint a picture of justification, of rational behavior by Israel, particularly in this most recent invasion of Gaza.
Well, and one of the charges was that Hamas broke the truce that the two sides had arranged. And this is very interesting because Tzipi Livni would negotiate with terrorists, certainly had agreed on the truce. But in fact, it was Israel that broke the truce by carrying out military raids before the Hamas started firing the rockets.
It was on November 4th, our election
day. That's right, and this was revealed on CNN when they put on a Palestinian, Barghouti, who said this, and Rick Sanchez, who is a CNN newsman, came on and said, I've checked all the sources and all the facts, and Barghouti's absolutely right. It was Israel that broke the truce and not Hamas. So who can you trust, the fanatic, zealous, supposedly Islamic party or this supposedly civilized democratic government? But in fact, Hamas won a free and fair election. And that election was imposed upon the people of Gaza by George W. Bush and the Israeli government.
And Condi Rice.
Yes. So they won the free and fair election, and they won it because they've been providing services to the people, not because of their religious fanaticism or ideology or pan-Arab nationalism or any of that stuff. They won it because they were doing things that helped the people, while the other group, Fatah, President Abbas's party, were basically stealing money. And that's why Hamas won the election. They represent the people of Gaza. And as soon as they won the election, the people who demanded the election simply refused to recognize the winners. So it makes no sense. At this point, all of this ideological talk and all of this demonizing really has to come to an end. The Palestinians have had a raw deal for a really long time. The Israelis have got to come to terms with the fact that you cannot permanently occupy other people's territory. It simply can't be done anymore. We've come too far in civilization to go back. And if they don't recognize this, they're going to become more and more isolated. This last war cost lot of media support, and it cost him a lot of public support in the United States and Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I've never, many of my Jewish friends who previously would not talk to me on the question of Israel,
mm-hmm.
now called and said, the Israelis have crossed the line. Killing all these women and children is beyond the pale. They have gone beyond the pale. This is not acceptable for any reason.
Yeah. Well,
and the anti-humanitarian posture, you began the show with that example, is exactly the one they've taken.
Yeah. We also have a Congress that is in lockstep with AIPAC. I talked to Maxine Waters, a very courageous congresswoman from Los Angeles. She was one of five members of the House who yep. voted against the recent resolution that was so one-sided that it almost made me scream.
I have to say that several members of the Bay Area congressional delegation at least didn't vote for it.
Mm-hmm.
They voted present.
Okay.
But they didn't vote for it. And I would, call Baba Lee and George Miller and as exemplary. At least they didn't bow totally.
Yeah.
But yes, only five members had the courage to tell AIPAC where to go.
Yeah. Saul Landau, thanks for being so outspoken. I really appreciate your point of view.
Thank you, Peter.
Good to talk with you today.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Nick Tannen's our assistant producer today.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bob Fuss, live on Capitol Hill, where a breakthrough in the Senate makes passage of a giant economic stimulus bill more likely as the country's economy falters. Intense negotiations led to a compromise authored by a group of moderates to reduce the cost and gain the votes Senate Leader Harry Reid needs to pass the bill.
We're now closer to joining President Obama on helping the economy turn around.
Almost all Republican senators still oppose this measure, but to break a filibuster, Reid needed only two of them. One is Susan Collins of Maine.
This compromise greatly improves the bill.
It cuts more than $100 billion, reducing the total to $780 billion, with about equal amounts of tax cuts and direct spending. Nebraska Democrat Bill Nelson.
We trimmed the fat, fried the bacon, and milk the sacred cows.
If all this holds together over the next few days and the Senate passes the measure, they still have to negotiate with the House, which strongly supports more spending. I'm Bob Fuss, live on Capitol Hill. Now with more CBS News, here's Bill Whitney.
The negotiations in the Senate were spurred by this morning's unemployment numbers. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports the jobless rate rose to 7.6% as nearly 600,000 jobs disappeared.
The size of the job losses last month surprised even most economists. And even if we begin to get a recovery later this year, many say the unemployment rate will continue to rise into next year, topping out somewhere north of 9%.
Because of the economic crisis, California state agencies shut down today. That story from Mike Coogan of CBS television station KCBS.
Customers walked up to the DMV office near USC today unaware that all DMV offices were closed on this first furlough Friday.
All DMVs and all state agencies are closed today.
Over 200,000 state employees face two forced days off without pay every month because of the state's budget crisis. It's $42 billion deficit. Furloughs could save $1.3 billion through June of 2010.
President Obama apparently won over the families of terrorist attack victims who went to the White House today. They were concerned about suspected terrorists escaping justice with the closing of Guantanamo Bay. But Kurt Lippold, commander of the USS Cole, says the group was reassured.
The fact that the president agreed to have an open door where he would allow the families to work with his administration as we formulate policy in how we're going to deal with the detainees in Guantanamo, but more importantly, how we are going to deal with the policy issues surrounding the security of our nation.
The White House says the discussion was at times emotional. Actor James Whitmore died this afternoon at his home in Malibu, California. His long career on stage, screen, and television included one-man shows playing Harry Truman, Will Rogers, and Teddy Roosevelt. James Whitmore was 87. The Dow up 217 points to finish the week at 8280. This is CBS News.
You know, I've read the blogs, I've been in the automotive chat rooms, and I hear you. You want smoother acceleration, better gas mileage, and pumped up engine performance. Yeah, well, Advanced Auto Parts wants you to have it too. So right now, 12-ounce bottles of Valvoline Fuel Injector Cleaner are BOGO. Yeah, that's how we say buy one, get one free in the biz. Get off the blogs and over to Advance for some Valvoline Fuel Injector Cleaner and grab an air filter while you're at it. Whatever you're working on, Advance Auto Parts will help you keep the wheels turning.
Hi, I'm the foreman of a construction company. We just added Aflac as one of the benefits we provide for our employees at no direct cost to the company. Aflac makes our foundation of benefits even stronger. My crew is so happy with Aflac, they're going on and on about it.
Hammer out the specifics. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to AflacForBusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
You've probably heard the rant or the bleeped version of it, but now word is that things have calmed down. CBS News correspondent Sam Litzinger reports.
Message from Christian Bale. Sorry.
I was way out of order. I acted like a punk.
The actor tells K-Rock Radio he was wrong to launch into a profanity-laced verbal assault on the cinematographer on the set of Terminator Salvation, an incident that went viral on the Internet. Bale says he may have been channeling too much of his character. He says he and the cinematographer reconciled and continued working together for another month following the now well-publicized tirade. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
Quite a record for a man in Boynton Beach, Florida. Police say they tried to stop Elvis Alonzo Barrett for a traffic violation, but he took off. By the time they caught him, Barrett had accumulated more than 50 citations for speeding, reckless driving, running red lights, not wearing a seatbelt. Police say they found crack in the car. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from the hood of your car.
Hey, don't worry about your engine, because I got it covered.
Yeah, well, you are the hood, but I'm still going to my Ford dealer.
All right, road trip.
Yeah, the Works Fuel Saver package is only $29.95 or less after a mail-in rebate.
Peanuts.
Oil change, tire rotation, multi-point inspection.
I can't beat that. Although, I do know a guy.
No, thanks.
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fee extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for $10 rebate details through 33109.
And now, another reason to switch to Geico.
Every month, we get lots of letters telling us how much folks like Geico's claim service. And I quote, "The adjuster assigned to my claim was incredible. He walked me through everything." Then there's this one. Geico.com is very useful and lets you track your claims. And this. "I filed a claim at 4:15 on Thursday afternoon, and my car was in the shop at 10 a.m. on Friday." And my personal favorite, "Easy Squeezy Lemon Peasy."
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. Every week about this time, we set aside an hour to talk about the crucial process of our democracy, elections. We'll be right back. go-to guy is citizen journalist Brad Friedman. He's the proprietor of bradblog.com, and he's been doing this for 5 years. Sometimes it's kind of like Groundhog Day.
You had to rub it in, didn't you?
Where the stories just won't go away. And today we offer callers to the program a free DVD of Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies, the Clint Curtis story, because, well, that story's back in the news. We'll give you details in a moment. Later this hour, Noah Kunin is going to join us. He is a citizen journalist covering the Al Franken and Norm Coleman post-election contests in Minnesota. And Brad has connected us with Noah, and it's I'm looking forward to talking with him. You know what we learned? Nick was doing some Googling, and it turns out that Noah was one of the first people who arrived at the scene of the bridge collapse when Highway 35 West collapsed in Minneapolis a couple of years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he already working with the uptake.org at that point?
We're going to have to ask him. I don't know, but
very good. No, he's doing a tremendous job covering this trial, which I might add is absolutely excruciating. I've been doing my best to keep up with it throughout the week. It's really incredible. I won't go into too much detail because I know you want to. We'll get to it when Noah joins us at the bottom of the hour. But man alive, I'll tell you this: if Democrats fought for every vote the way these Republicans are doing in this election contest and in others, whenever they feel they're close enough to win, boy, we'd have either President Gore or President Kerry right around now, I'm quite certain, because, I mean, they are really working every vote without fear that they will be called a sore loser, crybaby, tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorist. They are pulling out all the stops and pulling out so many stops that they're even arguing that ballots should now be counted that they had previously argued should not be counted.
Well, and you know what it is?
Yeah.
The conservatives have no shame. And Al Gore, at a certain point, had shame and felt that he would destroy the republic if he fought for his rights. John Kerry didn't flirt with shame at all. He gave up real quickly. But we really see that they have no shame, and they'll say what it takes, do whatever it takes. And this is how I end up comparing them to the evildoer in the NFL, Al Davis of the Oakland Raiders. Just win, baby. Don't tell me how. You can clip all you want.
Well, that's exactly it. And remember, they did the same thing, if you recall, back in 2006 up in Washington State, where they, or was that 2004? I've lost track already. I think it was 2004, where they, you know, felt that they had a contest there, and they went all the way to the mat, and they charged fraud, and they made their noise, and they did everything they could. And in the end, it turned out they proved, not only did they not prove fraud, but they didn't even submit any evidence of fraud. They were willing to go out and say there was fraud, even though there wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when that happens, when they do that, they are respected by the other side. You know, nobody has been, I haven't seen any, you know, blogs set up to claim that Norm Coleman is trying to steal the election in Minnesota, but we did see that from the other side during the hand count. Now, that Republican blog that had been set up to claim that Franken was stealing the election has gone quiet since around November, since Franken went ahead by some 225 votes, but they are absolutely shameless. They will say anything. I'll give you just one case in point. The case of a ballot that was rejected because the voter happened to have been in prison when he voted. He voted in the wrong county because the prison was in the wrong county. But in any case, convicted felons are not allowed to vote in Minnesota. And yet, the Republicans were in there fighting to count this guy's vote. Now, Eric Kleefeld, who's also been doing a tremendous job of covering the race, the contest over at TPM's DC blog, noted that could you imagine the uproar we would hear in the media if Democrats had gone in there and tried to argue not only for a felon to have his vote counted, but a felon who isn't even supposed to be voting and was voting in the wrong county. They will do anything, and to underscore that, they've now brought in this reprehensible Ben Ginsburg.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him?
Yeah, yeah.
Florida 2000. He was really the architect of that election contest. And when he argued, you know, we shouldn't count votes, now he's in there arguing, oh, we should count anything and everything we can. So it's 2000 all over again, but
well,
somehow
Brad,
the opposite.
You don't understand the Ginsburg rule. And that is, when you're ahead, you don't count votes, and when you're behind, you count every vote.
And that's exactly what they've been fighting for. They've been, fighting for ballots that during the hand count phase they had objected to and wouldn't allow to be counted. There was one of them, for example, where the voter had signed on the wrong line. Well, to me, I think that vote should be allowed in, but during the hand count, Coleman didn't want it in. Now, of course, he's changed his mind. He wants it in now that he's losing. It's unbelievable.
Brad Friedman with us from bradblog.com. Lines open if you have a question or a comment about election issues. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And let me give a brief recap and correct me if I get anything wrong here. But Tom Feeney was a top Republican in the Florida legislature when he went to the offices of a software company where Clint Curtis worked. And he came in and talked to Clint's boss, and Clint was brought into the meeting, and his request was, we need some software so we can flip elections. And that turned our friend Clint Curtis into a whistleblower. He eventually went public. Brad Friedman was very much at the center of breaking that story, and that's what's in this documentary, Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies. And Clint Curtis went on to challenge Feeney for his House seat there in that Florida district twice, for various reasons has not succeeded, partly because of weakness on the part of Democratic leaders in Washington. But there is a new set of developments related to Tom Feeney. Take it away, Brad.
Yes, very good. He's also, aside from the ongoing investigation into those vote rigging allegations from Clint Curtis, Tom Feeney is also under investigation from the FBI right now in regard to his, we'll call it, work with Jack Abramoff. As you may recall, there were these junkets to Scotland that Tom DeLay and Bob Ney, congressmen, went on, and they are both either in jail or under indictment or whatever. The third congressman to have gone to St. Andrews with Abramoff was Tom Feeney, and he has been under investigation for quite a while. And there was a finding this week by an appellate court. They have not yet released the finding, so we're just sort of trying to read the tea leaves about what it means. But it has to do with the separation of powers between the executive branch and the congressional branch.
Mm-hmm.
And the appellate court seems to have come to a finding that will limit the evidence or limit the probe that the grand jury can do right now that is looking into Tom Feeney's involvement with Jack Abramoff, or as I alliteratively wrote today on the blog, Fed finding figures favorably for Florida's Feeney. And the subheader there is a bit of news here. Rove attorney now reps recently routed Republican rigger.
I'm calling the alliteration police. They're coming over right now.
Yeah, well, you see what this Frank and Coleman thing has done to me after 2 weeks of this?
I thought it was actually carpal tunnel and just the R's are easier for you.
That's true. That's a good point. But, it turns out that Robert Luskin, the illustrative Robert Luskin, who's been representing Karl Rove and keeping him out of jail for the moment, is now representing our good friend Tom Feeney. So great minds think alike out there, I guess.
This is interesting. Now, our listeners, many of them are familiar with the speech or debate clause because this came up in the investigation of Dollar Bill Jefferson, who is still under investigation but no longer in Congress. The people in Louisiana finally came to their senses. But his office was raided by the FBI on a Saturday night. They had a warrant, but Democrats and Republicans closed ranks around the corrupt Jefferson to say, whoa, you can't come into our offices. That's a violation of the speech or debate clause. And Melanie Sloan, who instructs us on these things, she's the executive director of CREW in Washington. She has made the point, and I agree with her, that you shouldn't be using this to cover up obvious ethical violations or outright bribery and fraud. And that's what's at the center of the Jefferson case. We don't know specifically what the judge may be limiting in terms of Feeney, but with Abramoff convicted, with Bob Ney already out of jail from his sentence over the Abramoff case, and others who have yet to be fully investigated or indicted, like Tom DeLay, it strikes me that this is a setback for justice.
It may well be. The Washington Post coverage of this story did refer to the Dollar Bill Jefferson issue, and it was apparently the same appellate court, the appellate court in D.C., the D.C. Circuit, that had this finding. So I'm guessing it is something similar. This investigation in Tom Feeney, just on the Abramoff matter, again, setting aside the vote rigging business, this investigation has gone on. I'm looking at about 2 years, if I'm doing my math here right. So I don't know what's going to be the result of this. We'll hopefully the appellate court will soon release their findings.
We'll take a break and return with Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. You can join us 888-5 Peter B. And at the bottom of the hour, Noah Kunin from Minnesota will join us with a detailed update on the Al Franken Norm Coleman post-election litigation. Fascinating stuff. Straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays 3 to 5 p.m. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show, so please, if you tune in and hear basketball, listen in on Sundays from 3 to 5, The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Princess Monterey Whale Watching on Old Fisherman's Wharf in Monterey. Remember, if you hear basketball during my show on Saturday, tune in Sundays 3 to 5 for The Sheila Show. See ya.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Your investment, custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate. Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in Paso Tiempo, there's a vehicle stuck on the rocks on Highway 1 at Nepenthe. A tow truck is on the way there. And in Santa Cruz on the southbound 1 at Morrissey Boulevard, we have an accident with no injuries. Taking a look at the Hollister-Gilroy area, on Highway 152 just west of Fifield Road, there's a traffic collision with an ambulance responding. And we have a traffic hazard on Aramitas Road at Quarry Road. There's a tree down in the road there, so be careful. In weather, tonight we've got more showers coming with lows in the lower 40s. Saturday will be mostly cloudy with a chance of showers, and highs will be in the mid to upper 50s. Well, that's your traffic and weather on KRXA 540 AM. Have a great evening, everyone. Peter B. is coming right back.
The fire went out. I'm going to Jackson. I'm gonna mess around. Yeah, I'm going to Jackson. Look out, Jackson Town.
Yeah, sometimes we pull songs from the Peter B. Collins Tax Deductible Music Archives just for the hell of it. And that's Johnny and June with Jackson. Just had a hankering for some Johnny Cash music. And one song I don't have that I wish I had is Richard Harris, MacArthur Park. You remember The Cake is Melting in the Rain? Brad Friedman with me from Brad Blog. And a follow-up, a story that he can close the file on there at Brad Blog. And this isn't about a cake melting in the rain. It was a police riot at MacArthur Park in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and it's not often we get to close the file. And at least I hope it's closed. But this, you may recall, was back May Day, 2007. In the middle of Republicans running around acting like we were being invaded by immigrants, and this was the most pressing issue we had in this nation, suddenly the LAPD, during an otherwise peaceful May Day rally out in MacArthur Park down here in Los Angeles, busted out the riot gear, the rubber bullets, the tear gas, the batons, started beating up all kinds of people who were doing absolutely nothing, including journalists, by the way. It was all caught on videotape, and as it was breaking down here in Los Angeles, we were one of the first to pick up the stories, and it was pretty remarkable, the footage that was coming out of this thing. And again, we had citizen journalists who were really the first on the scene with some of the best coverage of what was going on down there. Well, the good news this week, the Los Angeles City Council has agreed to pay some 300 victims of that riot about $13 million in a settlement, and which you know, is long overdue. There were a bunch of the cops who were reprimanded for their behavior. Probably not enough, frankly, given what went on there, but I think it's an otherwise happy ending for a change, and I'm happy to put a lid on that story.
Yeah, and you brought it to my attention, and it's up at Brad Blog, but in I read the San Francisco Chronicle every day and breeze through the New York Times, and I haven't seen a word about it, so I'm glad you did cover it and bring it to our attention, Brad.
Sure. Well, and I remember at the time there was national coverage on this story.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were covering the, you know, fact that they were beating up on the people they were claiming were illegal immigrants. We have no idea. Most of them were actually just regular old citizens. And, of course, when all is said and done, they don't cover it quite as well. So I'm glad we were able to help get that story out a little bit.
Also, a story in your backyard this week. We refer to Karl Rove and Robert Luskin in the preceding segment. Rove came out, I presume it was a paid speech at Loyola Marymount, and he was asked during the Q&A period whether he would honor a subpoena from John Conyers. And he reached for some papers, apparently quoting his attorney, Robert Luskin. and had this bizarre claim based on a January 16th letter written by Fred Fielding just moments before he vacated his office as White House counsel. And they're claiming that Rove has absolute immunity. Now, this flies in the face of a representation that Luskin made to Conyers that Rove would not claim that, particularly on the Don Siegelman case, which we've covered here, which involves a stolen election, and then the railroading of the former governor of Alabama into federal prison by two cronies of Karl Rove who happen to be U.S. attorneys. And so I found that very interesting and relatively little comment in the corporate media.
Yeah, Luskin seems to be having it both ways. He's claiming he is now cooperating with a Justice Department probe. A special counsel is looking into some of these matters, but he's happy to do that, I guess, but he won't testify under oath before Congress because of that letter. And, yeah, I'm sorry that our own Alan Breslauer wasn't there. You may recall
yeah.
a year, the last time Rove was in town, Breslauer got him to hold up a free Don Siegelman sign. Got that on videotape at the Brad blog. You're proud of that one.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to head to a break now, and right after this break, we're going to be joined by Noah Kunin from Minneapolis. And if you want to check out his website before we get him on, it's theuptake.com, T-H-E-uptake.com.
.org.
Oh, it's .org.
I think it. Maybe it's both.
We'll double check. Yeah, right. You try it, I'll try it, and we'll confirm that after the break.
Very good.
Brad Friedman with me from bradblog.com. And my toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. This is the Peter B. Collins Show, right from San Francisco. How about that?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffee-topia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Hello, KRXA listeners. This is Sylvia Waldrop-Quarles, president of the Monterey County Branch NAACP. We're excited to announce our annual Life Membership Awards Dinner being held on Saturday, February 21st from 6 to 10 at the lovely Embassy Suites. KRXA's own Hal Ginsberg will be receiving the NAACP's Spirit of Partnership Award. Come to the dinner to show your support on February 21st. For tickets, call us at 394-3727. Tickets are $75 each. Again, call us at 394-3727. Yes, that's 394-3727.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, Open Systems Architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Is your child misunderstood? Are you frustrated with the medical and educational systems? Do others misinterpret the energy of your child? Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Through the power of intuition, I can help you. Schedule a session to learn more. Sign up for my newsletter to receive free information every month. Educate yourself through my books and articles. Visit intuitiveteachings.com or call me, Jennifer Cruz, at 831-233-8388.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
This is how we do it.
Yeah, you want to fix an election? First you say, don't count those ballots. Then you say, oh, we got to count these ballots.
This is how we do it. It's Friday night, and I feel all right. The party's here on the west side. So I reach for my 40 and I turn it up. Designated driver, take the keys to my truck. It's a shock because I'm faded. Honey's in the street, say money, yeah, we made it.
We continue with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, and we're joined by Noah Kunin, who is on the scene in Minnesota. And, Brad, of course you were correct. It is the uptake.org. I was misinformed when I said .com.
I accept your apology.
Well, yeah, you got it. So, first of all, Noah, welcome to our program.
It's good to be here.
Now, we did a little search with the Google gods and found out that you were right on the scene when the bridge collapsed there in Minneapolis a few years ago.
That is correct. That is correct. I was living in a warehouse apartment at the time, and it just so happened to be the closest residence to the bridge itself.
Uh-huh.
And I was at home when it happened.
Wow. And how far do you go back as an activist and citizen journalist?
I started a blog called blankedout.com in 2006, mainly just trying to do a bit of analysis here and there to give a better understanding of the political movements in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. And did you have some connection to the campaign of Senator Klobuchar?
No, not at all. That's actually a popular misconception. I was actually doing stories on both Klobuchar and her opponent, Representative Mark Kennedy, was ever paid for, never declared, you know, alignment at all.
Mm-hmm.
But once I published a story that was unflattering to Mark Kennedy's media consultant, Scott Howell, it then became prudent for Republicans to label me some shadow Democrat operative. And
I see.
In some ways, maybe I wish I had. I probably would have been paid better as opposed to zero.
And the Googles don't have a correction department, do they?
The Googles do not have a correction department. you know, what's popular gets at the top, and it was a popular story.
Yeah. All right, Brad, you take over here and tell me how you connected with NOAA and what you learned from their up-close and personal coverage of the Franken-Coleman contest in Minnesota.
Yeah, because before we get into the details of the Franken-Coleman case, NOAA, great to talk to you. On that Minnesota bridge case, were you working with the uptake at that time, or did the uptake only come around in the last few months?
Well, that was in August of 2007, and as an idea, the uptake had been percolating a few months previous.
Yeah.
And it was actually in part because of not only my coverage of the bridge collapse, but citizen journalists all over the state that the uptake was able to sort of initiate and start right then, so I was brought on board the next month.
I got you. Well, listen, the way I found NOAA was the way so many others, I'm sure, are finding him right now, through extraordinarily good coverage via theuptake.org. I mean, they are doing a tremendous job videotaping, live streaming absolutely everything that's going on right now in the election contest. They were up yesterday in the Minnesota Supreme Court. We can get details on that in a second, but it was watching his live reports that have just been so impressive, and I want to ask everyone to please go to theuptake.org, throw them a few bucks, because they are really covering this, and, well, as I'm sure we'll see in the future, so many other stories the way they should be covered, the way it seems like only citizen journalists can seem to cover these stories these days.
Well, the corporate media has declared they're bored with the post-election contest there in Minnesota.
Exactly right. They'll wait until there's a finding from the court. They'll jump in. But, you know, the stuff going on every day and the stuff that we're seeing, and frankly the hypocrisy that we're seeing right now in the Coleman case, where they're arguing for so many ballots to be included that they had, you know, fought to keep out before, is really astounding. So, Noah, if you can, and I know you've been taking in a lot of this now for the past 2 weeks, not easy to summarize, but just where the hell are we in this Franken-Coleman election contest as you see it?
I really wish I knew. You know, I've been covering the recount and the contents since day one after Election Day, you know, full time. Before that, you know, I've been covering the race for pretty much the entirety of the race. So I've been with these guys for a while. I'm trying to figure out where we are is like being in a fog with a blindfold on. Basically, where we are right now is the judges have created a process by which the Coleman campaign is presenting evidence on each rejected absentee ballot individually. So they're individually going through a universe of 4,797 rejected absentee ballots that the Coleman campaign either knows or suspects, according to evidence, you know, that they've collected, was improperly rejected. Oftentimes, once they finally get somebody on you know, as a witness, and they start to examine the information, they sometimes retract the ballot. They're like, oh, you know what, we're okay with this ballot now. And other times they keep the ballot in and say, hey, you know, we do want this to eventually be opened. But
and these are in some of these
horrifically
cases,
slow.
Some of these cases, Noah, they've actually brought in witnesses on the stand, voters whose ballots were rejected, and then they found out only once they got to the stand that they were properly rejected because the girlfriend forged the guy's signature or something like that.
Yeah, that's the most outrageous case, properly. But basically what the initial Coleman argument was, well, there's four statutory reasons to reject an absentee ballot. The Coleman campaign's argument initially was, well, those might be mandatory before the election. Now the election is over, they're discretionary. They could be, you know, thrust aside. That argument didn't exactly go over well with the three-judge tribunal. They issued a ruling saying they would only hear evidence in cases where voters complied with the four statutes or in cases where their noncompliance wasn't due to their own fault but some outside force, like an election official making a mistake.
And that's
so that
how
limited the universe a bit.
And that's how we get down from the 11,000 ballots that Coleman wanted considered down now to the just 4,797 ballots that the three-judge panel has allowed to be considered, correct?
More or less, that's correct. Basically, the Coleman campaign suspects there might be additional ballots in the remaining universe that fits those categories, but because they didn't file specifically on any additional ballots beyond the 4,797, the judges had to determine some point at which the outlines of this trial were going to be confirmed, and the date they chose was the date at which the Coleman campaign had, by that point, had filed 4,797. That being said, the Coleman campaign has been withdrawing ballots left and right. They've withdrawn certain categories of ballots. They're not being extremely transparent about that. The universe is probably closer to 4,400 right now. That's a guesstimate based on, you know, several statements from the Coleman campaign. Again, still a very large universe, though.
And you did a study, am I correct? Because I caught part of this during your coverage today. You did a study looking at those ballots and making an estimate of just how exactly the numbers would change if, in fact, all of those ballots that Norm Coleman once counted were actually counted.
Right. And so this article just came out today. It's on theuptake.org right now if you scroll down. Basically, what I did is looked at the post-recount numbers from all the different counties. And the supposition, and this is just one of many scenarios we're going to be releasing the numbers on, the first scenario is, well, if you're an absentee ballot voter, you're probably more or less like any other voter. And even in those numbers, most absentee ballots were accepted. So the post-recount percentages reflect the wishes of absentee voters. So if we superimpose post-recount county results onto the absentee ballots Norm Coleman would like to see opened and counted, we get a general idea of the tone or the temperature of that universe. And what comes out is actually an 85 net vote gain for Franken, which makes common sense. A, Democrats and Al Franken was shown to have done much better among absentee voters, roughly about 8%. And furthermore, Al Franken did much better in the metropolitan areas of Minnesota, and because those areas were bigger, they had more rejected absentee ballots, and thus are overwhelmingly the portion of the Coleman universe.
So you're suggesting that even if Norm Coleman gets all of these ballots that he wants now to be reconsidered, if those are in fact counted, he may end up losing votes in the process.
Oh, it's entirely – right now I'd say it's entirely possible. What's probable is a little bit more confusing. What I'd say right now is Coleman what is clear from this study or any of the studies we're going to be releasing is Coleman has to significantly outperform his post-recount election results in counties in order to overtake the 225 Franken lead and then add at least one more ballot to his total.
But he has been cherry-picking which ballots it is that he wants included, presumably from precincts that favored him. Is that taken into account in your study?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we basically take the Coleman campaign on its word that they want all of these ballots, and the Coleman campaign individually targeted Tolman supporters are in there. But for example, in a bizarre twist of fate, I found out I'm in there, and I'm not going to reveal who I voted for. But what it's clear is in many, many circumstances. I mean, this is a large universe. The Coleman campaign or the Republican Party of Minnesota didn't have sufficient targeting data, and so added whole classes of voters into the rolls where they felt like there might be some bit of a chance the judges might rule those ballots were improperly rejected and thus add them.
We're talking with,
when you're behind, you want the biggest pie possible.
Right. We're talking with Noah Kunin in Minneapolis. You can read his work at theuptake.com. Pardon me.
.org.
There we go again. I got to change my notes here. .org. And Noah, tell us a little more. We won't ask you how you voted. That's your private business. But what was it like to be covering this and then find out that your ballot was being scrutinized and, in fact, had been rejected?
After covering this race for more than a year, after covering the recount and election contest, you know, 50 hours a week nonstop, it pretty much blew my mind. The reason I had it sounded earlier is when the Coleman campaign took the county materials, they typed them up again and introduced a typo into my name, so it never came up in my searches. I was rather surprised because I voted absentee more or less every election because I'm usually working on election day, you know, doing coverage. So I was actually in Grant Park on election day this year, and I thought I had followed all the instructions correctly. What it turned out happened is it was my impression that when I asked for the application for an absentee ballot, I registered at the same time. I put in a registration card. Well, that registration card, poof, who knows where it went. So by the time I resubmitted my absentee ballot, I was registered in an older precinct from the past election. And because they didn't have me on the rolls, they marked rejected. So the Coleman argument about my ballot and ballots similarly situated is this. Even though I wasn't registered in the precinct where my ballot ended up. I was registered somewhere in Minnesota, and that's true. I was at a current registration. And because the Senate race is a statewide race, as long as you have a valid registration somewhere in the state, we should count their Senate votes of ballots like mine or those similarly situated.
And then what is your position, then, on your own ballot, given these details?
It's a recent development. At least in the short term, I have an evolving opinion regarding my own ballot. But because I'm covering this so intently, I think I'm going to keep that to myself currently. However, there are some big decisions that are before the judges that they're going to start having to make orders on. In fact, we're going to have a motions day on President's Day where no trial is going to be held. They're just going to get through as many motions as they can. Once the outline of what the law seems to be in this case, because there are some ambiguities that need to be resolved, I might then take a position as to my own ballot. But at this point, it's entirely possible I'm going to get called into the witness stand have to make some declarations there.
Okay, let's take a break and we'll continue. We're talking with Noah Kunin, and it's theuptake.org. I'm finally getting it correct. Brad Friedman will continue with us here as we roll on here. 888-5-PETER-B if you have a question or comment. And, of course, bradblog.com is where you can catch Brad's reporting. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good evening, this is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather. Right now in Salinas on 100 Willow Street, we have an accident with no injuries. And in Santa Cruz on Soquel Avenue at Madison Lane, we have a collision and all vehicles are on the right shoulder. Moving on up to Hollister Gilroy on the southbound 101 at 10th Street, watch out for the pedestrian walking southbound on the right shoulder of the road. Be very careful, they're in dark clothing. Taking a look at weather, it's going to be wet, wet, wet. We've got more showers tonight with lows in the lower 50s. Heading into the weekend, Saturday will be mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and highs in the upper 50s. Sunday, more wetness with highs in the mid-50s to low 40s. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody, and keep it tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Summer in Santa Cruz, you just can't beat it. It's time for friends, family, fun, and food. Whether it's an afternoon barbecue or a dining room banquet, it all begins with getting the best quality food at the best prices. For nearly 70 years, Shopper's Corner Market has delivered both. Shopper's Corner is the oldest family-owned and operated independent grocery store. It's where the locals shop.
I like their meat department. That's what I buy here.
They have a good organic selection.
Things you can't find other places.
Enjoy the friendliest service and fastest checkout at Shopper's while taking advantage of the everyday low prices on USDA choice meats, fresh local seafood, and produce.
Their produce is great. Actually, I shop around quite a few different places, but I always come back here because they have the best.
The variety of stuff you find here you don't find other places, and the service.
Shoppers has a vast assortment of cheeses and specialty foods, along with one of the best wine selections in the Monterey Bay area. Shoppers Corner, on the corner of Soquel Avenue and Brant Saforty in Santa Cruz, or visit them online at shopperscorner.com.
I shop here because of the fact I live around the corner.
Shoppers Corner, it's where the locals shop.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
It's It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes in front of the hour. We continue with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com and Noah Kunin from Minneapolis. Theuptake.org is the website where they've been covering the Al Franken Norm Coleman post-election contest. And, Noah, I'll hand it back to Brad in a second, but Steve and Salinas, pardon me, and Salinas wanted to ask, wouldn't it have been simpler just to rerun this election?
It may have been simpler, but as your viewers may or may not know, Minnesota is in the throes of a incredible budget crunch, much like the rest of the state government.
You got nothing on California.
Has been quite expensive. That being said, the counterargument is, wasn't all this really expensive? Well, the catch being is that in the election contest phase, the loser pays. So if Coleman, in fact, is not successful in this contest in changing the results, he's got to pay.
Well, and we are paying a price in that Minnesota is missing a senator. The Democrats are missing a senator right now in the Senate. And I think Noah and I may have talked about this earlier this week, but I did a little bit of arcane filibuster math for you over at Brad Blog, where I looked into the rules, the Senate rules, and it's actually the number needed to defeat a filibuster is actually based on the number of seated senators. And I've argued that the Democrats should not seat the replacement for Judd Gregg, the Republican replacement for Judd Gregg, until they finally seat Franken, because the fact is, as soon as Judd leaves the Senate, that means only 59 are required to overcome a filibuster at that point. So the Democrats will only need to get one vote, and their one vote is sort of being hijacked by what looks like it could be an endless trial at this point. This could go on for months out there in Minnesota.
That's very true, especially at the rate we're going right now. You know, I believe today we might have gotten through roughly 14 or 15 ballots.
Ouch.
I believe yesterday we got through 11.
Oh,
yeah, and
my.
We're talking about
It's got to be clear to the judges that this process can't continue as is, and that, you know, after President's Day, this thing's got to kick into a different system, a different process, which moves it forward at a much faster speed. You know, it's hard to gauge what Minnesotans are feeling right now about this whole state of affairs. You know, but I do think the winds may be changing as the lack of two senators is impressed upon the populace. I was handed a petition, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically it summarizes that, you know, if we don't get another senator soon, we should be exempt from 50% of all taxes until we are such fully represented. Since, you know, taxation, no taxation without representation.
Well, yeah, throw a tea party and see what happens.
Or Klobuchar can have two votes. Noah, you didn't want to go into your personal opinion on your own personal ballot. I will. I think it should be counted. I've long argued that absentee ballots are too easily discarded, and even in a state like Minnesota where you've got one of the best secretaries of state, and I was chatting with Secretary of State Mark Ritchie a little bit about this today, you know, you've got the same-day registration out there, and yet it all comes down to, again, these absentee ballots. It's not the so-called acorn voter fraud at the polling place on election day. It never is. It comes back to these absentee ballots, and many people, like you, are just disenfranchised without notice. And have you come to an opinion watching all of this as far as how these ballots are so easily thrown out and whether voters should be given a chance, should be notified when there is some reason, in your case a technical reason, why your ballot was not being counted?
I do think we do need a better notification system. We do have a notification system here in Minnesota. The issues with it is that there's a certain date at which notifications are not sent out. And even before that date, while it is greatly suggested notifications are sent out, there's simply often not the manpower to do it. So some form of automation or expansion of early voting enfranchisement might be the solution, because right now we have a process where we don't technically have early voting in Minnesota. You know, absentee ballot thing is separate from traditionalized early voting. That being said, more and more people have been engaging in the absentee process and overloading it because it's not designed for that type of overwhelming attendance. So it is clear that some reforms do need to be made.
Which is why, you know, and Minnesota really is one of the best states in the nation. Richie really is one of the best secretaries of state, and yet we still see the flaws in the system. We still see a system where you've got people who are not professionals judging whether a signature matches or doesn't. And I think we're seeing thousands of people in states all around the country who are being disenfranchised. I think that's a pity. Do you have time real quickly to give us a real quick catch-up on where we are in the other case in the Minnesota Supreme Court where Franken pled his a different case yesterday?
Sure. Basically, what happened yesterday is arguing a federal statute, the Franken team demanded the issuance of a temporary or provisional election certificate that would put Franken as the current lead vote-getter into the Senate until the election contest came to a decision that someone else got the most number of votes. The Coleman response is that there's a Minnesota statute saying, hey, an election certificate cannot be issued until the election contest is over. This all hinges on definition of the proper court and what that really means. Long story short, are they going to go with what the federal law says or with what state law says? Does the federal law allow for room in the state's to make a law preventing a senator from going up? You know, we've been actually trying to do a little bit of research and seeing what is the longest period of time a state has gone without a senator? And I think it might be the John Thune case, if I'm not correct, where he had a stroke and was gone for about a year.
Oh, no, not John Thune.
The other one from
Tim Johnson.
Johnson in South Dakota, yeah.
Right, Thune was his opponent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, Thune defeated Daschle.
Ah.
They're separate
South
seats.
South Dakota politics.
Yeah.
Right. And Johnson was, in fact, the seat was not vacant, even though he was unable to vote, as Ted Kennedy has not been able to vote either. So there's another vote right now that the Democrats need, but... So I don't even know if that would even match up with this as far as a vacant seat goes.
And we're just about out of time, guys. But Noah, what you just described there in the Franken Supreme Court case has shadows of Bush v. Gore. But that Supreme Court case was non-precedential. So it appears that we could talk about it, but it wouldn't matter. So, gentlemen, thank you very much. It's great to meet you, Noah, and thank you for the work you're doing. People can follow it at theuptake.org. And Brad Friedman, thank you very much, sir. We'll talk to you again next week.
Always my pleasure. Look forward to it.
All right. Brad Friedman, bradblog.com.
Happy trails to you.
And I'm overdue for a little scotch to clear my throat. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Happy trails to you.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A breakthrough in the Senate. Moderates on both sides have forged a compromise that cuts the enormous stimulus package from $937 billion down to a merely huge $780 billion. Nebraska Democrat Ben Nelson was one of the negotiators.
Our bipartisan group worked long and hard, going line by line, dollar by dollar, to reduce spending from the original bill.
Among the cuts, money for school construction. But Senator Kent Conrad says tax incentives for home buyers and car buyers remain. Senator John Kerry says it's 58% spending, 42% tax cuts to jumpstart the economy. Republican leader Mitch McConnell says it might work.
But all the historical evidence suggests that it's highly unlikely to work. And so then you have to balance the likelihood of success versus the crushing debt that we're levying on the backs of our children, our grandchildren, and yes, their children.
When it comes to a final vote, only three Republicans are expected to support it: Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania and Maine Senator Susan Collins and Olympia Snowe. Ailing Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy has returned to Washington to cast his vote with the Democrats. The White House says today's report from the Labor Department is more evidence that the economy is contracting greatly. Last month, the economy lost nearly 600,000 jobs, bringing the unemployment rate up to 7.6%. Analysts say it could hit 9% before this is over. Afghanistan has become a more dangerous place for American troops. CBS News correspondent Sheila McVicker reports the Taliban are ambushing supply convoys and stealing military gear.
Boots, camouflage, even high-power binoculars, and sophisticated night vision gear. It's all U.S. equipment coveted by the Taliban and now openly for sale in the Pakistani border town of Peshawar. Our CBS News camera took exclusive pictures of looted U.S. military supplies. We're told there are U.S. weapons for sale here, too, improving Taliban capabilities and posing a growing risk to U.S. and coalition forces.
Nearly 80% of the supplies for U.S. forces come through the Khyber Pass in the mountains that separate Pakistan and Afghanistan. Veteran actor James Whitmore died of lung cancer today. He was 87.
James Whitmore starred in dozens of films, TV shows, and theatrical productions, but he may be best remembered as the star of several one-man shows. He portrayed Will Rogers.